much about.
I'm pretty good with the penises.
We do not want this sickness. This is sick, and it's therefore deviant. We do not want it.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G. Ah!
Okay, you were born Stephanie Jeremiah. Why did you change your name? How did you come up with Lady Gaga?
Because I know somewhere deep down in my heart, I still love you.
Don't be such a pussy.
We try and teach our children not to make fun of others who are challenged.
Hot enough for you, folks? It must be 1,000 degrees out there.
It's literally like my mother spewed out gold out of her vagina.
And now,
I'm going to shove this lump of coal up my ass, clench my butt cheeks, and crap out a diamond for you.
Our feature presentation.
That's how every program is made here on the Kevin and Bean Show, in fact. Hey, party people, it's Monday, and I don't see the monkey. What happened?
I hear footsteps. Ah, voila. Here comes a monkey.
Oh, wait.
Sure, no problem.
Wish I could whistle.
That's as good as I can whistle. I'm as bad as you.
Anyway, we're going to be taking your telephone calls at 1-800-520-1067 in just a moment. If you want to talk about the Stanley Cup Finals, want to talk about the NBA Finals, whatever's on your mind. I got to start with this, though. This is an email from a Kevin Bean listener named Eric.
Yeah, Eric.
Thank you. Big fan of the show, he says. Thanks a lot for ruining my life. Hello, file and ding is all my life is about, he says. I had a very productive summer day recently just looking up YouTube videos, and I came across the Cinnamon Challenge. Have you guys heard about this? There are so many out there, and all of them are hysterical. Supposedly, it is impossible to swallow a tablespoon of cinnamon without throwing up. You have to make Beer Mug do this. And by the way, I'm so happy to see this because Beer Mug is in the room right
now.
Filling for Psycho Mike, we've got Beer Mug for the whole week, right?
No!
I like it.
Mug, have you ever heard about this? I know you've done some crazy stuff. You ever heard about the Cinnamon Challenge?
I have, and I don't see how that's possible. I don't quite understand how you would throw up.
Well, I know that cinnamon, like if you put it in water, it will not absorb the water. It just floats on top. So I'm imagining that saliva and stuff mixed in helps not at all. It's really just this powder that you're trying to get down your throat.
Well, I'm used to regurgitation, so I'll try it.
I watched a couple of the YouTube videos to see people try to do it, and yeah, it does seem like it just immobilizes them. Huh. I mean, they're just. I saw some vomit, but I also saw just some panic, and I can't breathe. And I mean, it really looked a lot of fun, is what I'm saying.
Let's
Anyway,
let's do it right now.
Guys, attack it. This is a guy, Eric, who knows the problems we've been having with trying to do anything fun on this program because the lawyers hate us. Seriously, guys, attack it. I mean, without warning. Don't give the lawyers time to find out about it. Just be like, and that's the Ralph Showbiz beat, and here's Beer Mug, and he's going to do the Cinnamon Challenge. P.S. In Omar, I trust. All my friends love Glee, and I have a hatred for Glee. So thanks to Omar for getting me punched for calling the black chick Little Precious. It was worth it. So anyway, I'm with Eric on this. By the way, we haven't heard any reports of anybody dying as a result of this or being sent to the hospital. It's not like he's going to get seriously hurt. It just might be uncomfortable for a minute, right?
Yeah, I would think.
Supposedly,
sure.
So we got to get some. We got to get some cinnamon in here and soon.
Yes.
Okay.
Mug, notice I don't ask Mug if he's down for it, right?
Oh, he is. You know that. I mean, it's not that there's no chance that he's going to go, I don't know, guy's not feeling it. You know what I mean?
Mug, you're pretty much down with anything, right?
Anything for the good radio, you know? We got to do it.
Okay. All right, let's do that. Right. Let's do that then.
I like it. All right, time for your phone calls. 1-800-520-1067 is the number.
We're sorry. You must first dial 0 or 1.
What it do, nephew?
What it do, nephew?
It's a pretty good deal. We pay for the telephone call. You get to be on the radio, and you get a prize. And today it's a brand spanking new Kevin and Bean T-shirt at 1-800-520-1067. Let's start with Southern Man Anthony. Why don't we? On line 5.
Hey, Anthony.
What it do, nephew? What it do, baby boot?
What it do?
Oh, man, let's talk about that Laker game last night. Wow, what horrible defense.
Well, it wasn't great, if that's what you're saying.
I don't get how they come out so strong in game one. The transition defense was all everything. And yesterday, Ray Allen tore them up the first half. It was horrible.
That was unbelievable, that Ray Allen performance in the first half.
He set a record, right?
He did, yeah.
Yeah. Eight three-pointers in a row?
Yeah.
Crazy.
It was seven.
Seven in a row, okay. But like 8 out of 10. No one had ever made 8 before in one finals game.
The answer to your question is, at the level that these guys are playing, you are playing against a professional team that has recently been the world champion that also is allowed to go back to the locker room and make their own adjustments. So it's not going to, I mean, it's a fluid situation. As each team, you know, wins or loses, they do adjust accordingly. And now it's on the Lakers to do the same against a team with a very great home court advantage as well.
Yeah, but then the Lakers, too, are like, they're a great home team, and they're not an away team, and they got 3 straight in Boston, and Boston's real hectic, so.
Dude, they went through the first 3 series to get here. They closed out all 3 series on the road.
But the one lucky shot, though, that's the thing. Artes and Gasol had buzzer beaters, so.
Did they win? Hold on a sec. Did they win?
They won.
Well, they won,
all
3
series on the road. I'm just saying they're not that bad on the road.
And I'm saying it's not time to panic, Anthony, all right? You're allowed to lose a game. You're allowed to lose a game and still win the series, okay?
Right.
All right, thank you for the call. Let's do one more about that game. Ebony is on line 3 on the Kevin Amin Show. Hi, Ebony. Thanks for calling. What's going on?
Hey, what it do, nephew?
What it do?
What it do?
What it do, baby boo?
Hi.
Hi.
What's going on?
I am like, I want to see a segment on Bean Loves Zeth where they take all the fence sitters and the Staples Center detractors that leave the game before it's finished. I would like them all to die. I hate them. And I hate that Ray Allen came to our home court and tore it up like that. It's like ridiculous.
Yeah, Bean was happy.
I love Ray Allen. He's my favorite player.
There are like so many fence sitters in L.A. who are like, oh, I hate the Celtics, but all of a sudden he does this thing with the threes, and they're all like, "Oh yeah, he's a great player." What?
Well, you can give him props for being a good player without loving the Celtics.
The problem is, you can't. Once you see the Celtic uniform, you go, "Nope." That's it. That's your response. I mean, it could be Gandhi in that uniform. You go, "No, you're bad." That's just the way it works.
For all the diehard fans, it would like egg somebody for going there. I'm just like so flustered. I can't even express myself. I'm so upset with the Celtics. I'm so upset with the fin sitters, and look at all the people who just like got up at the end of the fourth.
Well, look, as long as people live in Southern California, there's never going to be a, hey, we're going to stay to the very end and get in as much traffic as possible on a school night to get home. It's just, there's nothing you can do about that. Yeah, there's a certain amount of people are always going to leave every event, not just sporting events, concerts, whatever it is, because they want to beat the traffic. You can't stop it.
I feel like those are just fin sitters. Like, if we were winning, they would all be there. They'd be streaming out on the streets. Figueroa would be like a gridlock nightmare.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, sick of it.
As little as I like to do this, I thought the Celtics played pretty well. But I'll tell you what's driving me crazy is the referees. I hate them so much.
A lot of people are making that complaint.
So much. Yeah. And it's not just one-sided either. I mean, I hate the Celtics. But
you hate a tight game.
A lot of the calls on the Celtics were BS. A lot of the calls on the Lakers were BS.
Yeah.
All these guys with 5 fouls. I mean, it was just, I just hate that the refs have to step up and go, we're going to call it so tight that every good player is in danger of fouling out. And you go, well, that's not your role.
And that does make a huge difference when you get, you know, Kobe sitting on the bench because they don't want to foul him out, you know.
Man.
I mean, of course, that's where they really start to make an impact on the game. And nobody wants the refs to be a factor, that's for sure. All right, let's change topics. We'll get back to that later on. Let's try John. He's on line 2. He's our first call of the day post-Weenie Roast, I think, the guy who was there this weekend. We're going to be talking a lot about that and the furry convention at our hotel later on today's Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, John, what it do, nephew?
What it do, y'all?
What it do?
What's going on?
Hey, I want to thank you for a couple things. Not only do you send me to work every morning with a smile on my face, but the Weenie Roast was a total success, man.
Excellent.
I mean, I was expecting, like, I'm like, when I just heard the hole's going to be there, I'm like, what's this old dope fiend up to, you know? But, man, she had a great set talking about her, like, feminine hygiene practices.
And certainly did.
I could have used less of that, to be honest. Yeah.
I don't need that much information about what's going in or out of Courtney's vagina. I really don't.
It got kind of visual, didn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it did. I mean, for folks who weren't there or didn't see the webcast, I mean, she was talking about going out to the audience and basically getting on their heads, you know what I mean? And what she was going to do. You didn't need that at all.
But at least she only said it like 10 times.
Right.
At least that happened.
It was the low point of the show, but she really did a great set, man. You know, and she's on her way back. Yeah. And the ratio of, like, men to women at the show, I couldn't believe it. It was great, man. There was, like, I think two women for every guy there.
A lot of hot chicks at Weenie Rose every year. This year, I think one of the best ever.
Yeah, and it was so hot, they were hardly wearing anything, man. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Thank you, father, son.
Exactly. Great call, John. Thank you very much. Let's try Ralph. He's attempted the cinnamon challenge on line 5. Let's see what Beer Mug's got in store for him later. Hey, Ralph, what's going on?
What's happening, guys? Hey, anyhow, that whole Beer Mug challenge that they're talking about, yeah. It gave me about a minute to do it, and everybody swore that I was going to throw up. All I did was work it around in my mouth and then swallowed it. It wasn't that hard at all.
That's what she said.
Well, now, the people that I saw that were attempting on YouTube, and I don't know if there's a rules committee or not, but they just put it in a tablespoon and they swallowed it all at one time. They didn't, like, take a little piece at a time and work it, you know, small like that. You're saying
I did? I took the tablespoon and I just put it in my mouth, but nobody said I had to swallow within 10 seconds or anything like that.
I see.
It took me probably, like, about 25, 45 seconds, and I was able to get it out.
All right.
What's the problem with it? What is it that makes it so difficult? Is it what Lisa said, that it just doesn't absorb by water?
Well, I guess the cinnamon, it tries to burn inside your throat, so it makes you want to swallow it. So that's one of the things that probably causes it.
Are we still talking about cinnamon? I'm confused now. I feel like we should bail on this conversation.
We're also talking about Beer Mug, though, and he fails, so... I don't think that's going to happen.
I forgot his rate of failure. You're right.
It was all, right?
Yes, it was
Can
all.
We just squeeze in one more? I want to talk to Sal, because this is funny. Hey, Sal.
Hey, what it do, nephew? What it do, baby boo?
What it do?
I think Bean is out to get us.
What does that mean?
He sent the gingers out on the Weenie Roast to get us.
He sent the gingers out. What does that mean?
I don't even know what it means.
We were watching the show, enjoying, having a good time. Until my friend dropped his joint.
Right.
The ginger that's standing next to him picks it up and smokes it.
Right.
While we were watching the show.
Right.
Well, that shouldn't stand.
Sounds like he's smarter than you are.
It was a hot ginger, by the way.
Yeah. Okay. I'm sorry I took that call. I apologize.
What's the motto of this program? What have we so often said?
Why take one call when we take one call 2 minutes?
Excellent.
Exactly.
So that's me. That's on me. And that was a mistake. So sorry about that. All right. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Not my cup of tea.
We have a... We're going to tell you all about the Weenie Roast and everything that went on.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
We are going to talk to Trey Cool today. Who, of course, is in Green Day, about Green Day Rock Band.
Yeah.
And we're going to start giving away Green Day Rock Band.
Very cool.
What is with furries?
They are very nice people. I found that out over the weekend. Very pleasant, personable people.
Yep.
Hygiene might be an issue.
Yes.
They dress up in full animal costumes.
100 degrees, doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter a bit. And probably that same, you know, outfit was worn by somebody else yesterday, and it just hasn't been washed, but that's okay with them.
Yeah.
We're good.
I hoped that they were committed furries and they owned their outfits. That was my hope all weekend.
Well, they might wear the same outfit 5 days in a row, but they've sweated through it every day.
Yeah.
That's true.
It's rough. And they butter like dudes, because that's what you got to choose from at a furry convention.
Mostly
well,
dudes.
Well, there's dudes, but then there's also... There's just dudes. You're right. We're going to talk to Craig Robinson today about Last Comic Standing and the VH1 Hip Hop Honors. Which, you know, we're all about on this station. We are going to do the Kevin and Bean wake-up call, where we're going to hook up a blind date and we're going to send you to a festival. This particular one is going to be the Warp Tour in Florida.
So two people who have never met.
Correct.
We send them together.
Correct.
Interesting.
Yeah.
That could be so bad.
It could be really bad.
Or could
bad.
It be amazing?
It could be amazing, yeah.
You could have a story
to tell your great-grandchildren 50 years from now about how Kevin and Bean got you together. You don't know, man.
And Beer Mug could really just eat the cinnamon and go, yeah, that was good.
Yeah, that could happen, too.
Yeah, all that could happen. Sure. And we have Matt Money Smith in the studio. Very excited about that, talking sports.
Yes.
So that's coming up this morning as well. We will take, Harvey from TMZ. We'll talk to him about all the celebrities over the weekend. We'll take a quick break and come back with the Ralph Showbiz Beat, which is next.
I'll follow you into the dark.
Hey.
Kumbaya, my lord, kumbaya.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is 5:52.
STP, Nine Inch Nails, and Slightly Stupid, all straight ahead here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph Garman joins us for our first look at the Showbiz Beat for a new day, for a new week. Hey, Ralph, how are you, man?
Woo! Woo!
I'm fired up.
About
Monday, baby.
That's why, you are.
Wake up. Let's do it.
You are known for your enthusiasm on Mondays.
Let's rock and roll. Come on.
Ralph oftentimes throughout the weekend will call the station going, is there any way the Kevin Amika show can start earlier? Do I have
yet?
To wait till Monday?
Is it Monday yet? Is it Monday now? Is it now Monday? I'm all right.
That's what I was thinking in the fourth quarter of the game last night.
Yeah.
It's got to be Monday.
I felt for you, brother.
It was rough.
Look. 1-1, that's all. That's all that means. Now it's five game series. That's all that means.
Gotcha. I'm not panicking, but
you're not, Junior.
I hate referees. They're bad.
Yeah, look.
They're bad.
They're
bad on both sides. I don't think they favored one team
or
the other.
Well, that's good.
In an
impossible
situation, because nobody wants to see the refs make a call until their guy is fouled, and then they're screaming, where's the ref? Why isn't he making the call?
Yeah, but they find a way usually, especially in the finals. It's the same like it's in hockey and every sport. You kind of let them play a little, and there's some banging going on back and forth. You know, I mean, hitting,
but if you,
fouling.
If you swallow the whistle, as they say, enough.
Right.
Then you encourage, you foster a atmosphere of violence and bloodletting, which you may not necessarily want in the NBA.
I agree, but if you blow your whistle every 10 seconds, needed or not, that's also a problem.
I agree, but I'm just saying, they're in a tough spot, the refs. That's
right.
The only
and
people
responding
in,
poorly.
In the arena that everybody hates.
Right.
You got your Lakers fans, you got your Celtics fans, but both sides of those people hate the refs.
And rightfully so, this
series. I'm just saying it's
last
a rough
game
gig.
And this game.
It is not easy to
They
be
show
them.
The replays and the announcers will go, yep, that's not a foul. And then they'll show another, you know, they'll call one on the Lakers, that's not a foul. And then they'll show one on the Celtics to go, that's not a foul.
In retrospect, of course it's easier, but in the heat of battle when you're trying to make the call, it's a tough gig. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
I'm not saying they did a good job. I'm just saying I can appreciate
the
difficulty of their job.
They are not good people.
Well, come on now.
Nope.
They all have families. Every one of them's got a mother. Every one of them's got a mother.
And every one of them their mother probably hates.
All right, let's talk about showbiz, shall we? Top 10 movies at the box office this weekend. Shrek Forever After. Number one again at the box office this weekend. People can't get enough of giant green creatures.
Just any of them or that particular one?
That particular one. $25.3 million made it number one. Get Into the Greek did very well in its debut weekend. $17.4 million. It's not very well, but it's good this weekend.
I thought that
weekend.
Would be number one for sure this weekend.
Yeah.
That was a funny movie.
It has been a lackluster box office
Definitely.
So far this summer. So,
Kevin, you saw it?
I did.
Funny?
Funny, yeah. I loved it. And
love that Jonah Hill.
And people told me that Diddy stole the movie. And I was like, that is not possible. I hate that guy. He's so self-involved. He was great in this movie. Diddy.
That's amazing. Okay. That's what they said, though, yeah.
Being self-involved does absolutely not disavow you from being a movie star. That's
yeah,
sure.
I guess.
You know?
But, you know, you see him on all of his personal videos.
He's a tool, of course.
Just,
I know, but look, there's
Are
a lot
you
of
not things. Entertained? Are you not entertained?
Remember he was talking about how the cost of gas had gone up, so now he can't fly private anymore? Look at me. I'm on a real, like, a public airplane.
Yeah, I know.
Like,
I know.
A-hole.
I'm just saying, there's a lot of a-holes who
Gas prices are too motherfucking high.
That's it. That's the one. But he was great. Jonah Hill was great. Everyone.
Killers was third. $16 million made it so. Prince of Persia, The Sand of Time. Sands of Time, rather, was fourth. Sex and the City 2 was sixth. Marmaduke, in its debut, showed up at number six with $11 million. I was hoping this was one of those best-worst movie scenarios where the list was just wrong and I was spouting lies.
Right.
But no, Marmaduke actually did come in at number six, beating Iron Man 2. Splice, Robin Hood, and Letters to Juliet rounding out the top 10 at the box office this weekend. Rush Limbaugh, my friends, tied the knot Saturday with his fiancée, Catherine Rogers. He is 59 and fat and deaf. She is 33 and none of the above.
I hope he fails.
Interestingly enough, performing at the ceremony for $1 million was Elton John. Rush Limbaugh's wedding. Paid him a cool mill, and Elton showed up and did a couple numbers.
Oh.
Which has the homosexual community up in arms, because Rush Limbaugh is a man who has notoriously said some rather offensive things towards certain members of the gay community, including, when a gay person turns his back on you, it's anything but an insult, it's an invitation. Rush has said.
That's a pretty good line, though.
And so
it is a good line, but if he believes that he's an idiot.
Some of the brothers and the sisters are asking Elton, what's up with that?
It does sound like Elton is putting aside any ideological differences in favor of the big, big paycheck in that case.
Yes.
Awesome.
Look, brother's got to make a dime, you know? It's not easy.
Yeah, he's poor.
What's Elton's going on here, Mr. Queermo?
Who's gonna keep Elton in hair plugs and glasses? That's what I'm saying. Guy's got to make a buck.
He does.
It's not all good news in the world of celebrity matrimony. Cesar Millan, the dog whisperer, and his wife, Illusion? Are calling it quits
what?
After 16 years.
She a stripper?
No, she's a magician.
Illusion? Dumb.
See, she's a magician.
I said,
if you even heard me, you'd be laughing. I don't think you heard me.
I heard you.
They're calling it quits. After much consideration and time, Cesar says on his website, they are splitting up, but they are fully committed to co-parenting their two sons and will remain the best of friends.
That's so
great.
That's
the only way celebrities break up.
So great they have that option the rest of us don't have.
Speaking of movie stars and what tools they are, I don't know if you caught the MTV Movie Awards last night.
No.
Boy, is that a bad show.
No.
It is not good.
No, it's not.
During the Laker game, was it? Lakers Celtics?
Maybe.
Started 5. I don't know what time it was.
I don't know what time it was either. But I caught it last night, and it was painful for the most part.
Mm. However, Ralph, let me ask you this. I thought it was the best MTV Movie Awards show I've seen, even though there were some parts. Do you remember how bad that show usually is? At least there were some highlights last night. Most years there aren't any highlights. At least last night there were a few good things.
There were highlights in the sense of, oh, look at that. Like Sandra Bullock was on stage for the first time since this whole disaster.
And who is she kissing? That's the only thing I've seen, a girl.
Yeah, she kissed Scarlett Johansson.
All right.
Because Scarlett's husband, Ryan Reynolds, was nominated for Best Kiss with Sandra Bullock for The Proposal.
I don't care why.
I don't care.
I just want it to happen.
I'm just trying to give you some they came out, Scarlett and Betty White and Bradley Cooper came out to bestow Sandra Bullock with the Millennium Award or the Lifetime Achievement Award or the Generational Award or the It's Sunday Award or whatever effing awards they give away on that show.
It's the We Need a Big Star to Show
That's
Up.
That's what that is. Yeah. Let's ask her. Maybe she'll come on.
Right.
And so that was a highlight, seeing Sandra Bullock. And she said a few things in her acceptance speech that were kind of cute and funny, including how she wanted to clear up a few rumors about what had been going on in her life. Here's a little taste of what Sandra Bullock had to say.
Number one, I am not dead. Number two, everybody has cellulite, not just me. Paparazzi need more flattering lenses. Whoever established the high road and how high it was going to be should be fired. And I've never gone 14 days without showering, while chain smoking, while crying on the shoulder of my sweet Aunt Ludi, because I shower twice a day, I don't smoke, and sweet Aunt Ludi died a year ago, though I know she's really happy just to have been mentioned.
I just picture Sandra Bullock seeing all those tabloid reports of all of those things for the past 2 months being reported everywhere.
Yeah.
Too much information, man.
So, I mean, she was also on the Spike TV Awards Saturday night, too. So, I mean, she's coming out. So that was sort of interesting.
She's coming out?
She was coming out of her hiding from publicity. But for the most part, I thought the show was just brutal. I'll tell you something. If Aziz Ansari wasn't famous, you would have thought a guy was bombing on a stage at a comedy club.
Really?
It was. He did an R. Kelly bit about Avatar, which if someone was doing it in a club, he would have been pelted with cocktail peanuts.
Oh, no.
It was abominable.
It was not the strongest moment of the night.
No, you don't think? Sure. You don't think that was?
I don't think it was.
What did it seem like? Like a high school talent show? What he was doing?
Yeah, it was rough.
Could you believe that he's a professional entertainer?
It was pretty rough.
I was screaming at the television set, screaming out loud. So what about the refs?
What about the refs?
Today's celebrity birthdays: Tom Jones, singer, Welshman. He is 70 years old today. Actor Liam Neeson, soon to be seen in A-Team. He's 58. Prince, Kevin, one of Kevin's favorites of all time. Kevin has seen him. He has gone to see Prince 20 times. Mm-hmm. Prince has shown up once. Gordon Gano of Violent Femmes is 47 years old today. Eric Kretz of a little band called Stone Temple Pilots is 44 years old. Dave Navarro is 43. Comedian Bill Hader from Saturday Night Live and Pineapple Express and other movies where he's very funny. He's 32. And Michael Cera, who was also in the MTV Awards last night, cursing up a storm. That was the thing last night. Everybody had to curse isn't it funny if you curse and then the censors try to stop you from cursing?
Oh, that's ridiculous.
Oh,
who would do that?
Kevin, you would have been in heaven if you'd been watching that show. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Strike Force hits LA with a very special night of mixed martial arts action. Rockstar Energy Drink presents Strike Force Live from Nokia Theater at LA Live on Wednesday, June 16th at 6 p.m. Don't miss the explosive rolling style of ruthless Robbie Lawler when he takes on the dangerous submission specialist.
Here's one thing I know about coming in the Monday after the big weenie roast show. We're all alone in the building. We could seriously strip down to our undies and just run around the building and no one would ever know because it's a holiday. It's a holiday here as a result of people still recovering from Saturday.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's still, it's not an optional thing. Everyone is almost dead. So it's just a given that, you know, there's going to be no one here.
Right. Nobody calls in or anything.
No, of course not. That's just how it works.
Just not here.
You ask people, hey, what'd you do Sunday? I saw you at the Weenie Roast Saturday. What'd you do Sunday? Oh, I just recovered.
Yeah. That's what Mike's just said to me.
And by the way, I don't know what your experience was like. Kevin, did you stay at the hotel Saturday night?
I stayed Friday night.
Okay, Saturday night at the hotel, I went to bed at 10:30, something like that. At 2 o'clock, which I assume is because the bars in the lobby closed, at 2 o'clock, the furry convention moved to the room next to mine.
Awesome.
It was the loudest thing. I mean, it was like being at the Weenie Roast. I mean, it was so loud. There were so many people that were singing. They were clapping. They were chanting. They were drinking. They were yelling.
Bean really, really loves to hear people have a good time, too.
Actually, I'm surprised you didn't get up, put on your clothes, and go next door and join
the
fun.
We had a conversation backstage when you were gone, Bean. We were like, yeah, remember that? He's the guy that traveled with a sock monkey for, like, all of his life.
Yes.
I guarantee you he's down in the lobby right now in a full sock monkey uniform outfit.
Don't think I wasn't looking for a girl in a sock monkey outfit. Believe me. But anyway.
Looking for a girl? Really?
Two to 4 o'clock, the party was raging next to me. It was outrageous next to me at the hotel, the furries. It was just crazy. There were hundreds of them.
Yep.
And boy, did they like to party.
Yes, they did.
And speaking of partying, what were you on at the Weenie Roast?
What
was going on with you? Well, listen, for folks who weren't listening to us Saturday when we came on, listen to the beginning of the broadcast and tell me if something sounds like it's going on with Kevin here.
You are listening with Films K-Rock. I am Kevin, Kevin of the show.
Oh, Kevin, you sound rough already.
We are already a Universal Amphitheater.
Lisa, take the drink away.
Waiting for the Christmas scene.
Weenie Rose. Can't you tell we're outside and it's hot?
I've had so many granola bars.
We're outside. It's summertime. It's the Weenie Rose. We're here every year, Kevin.
Yes.
Come on.
Yes, I would like some water, please.
Yeah, we're broadcasting live all day long right here on the World Famous K-Rock.
Cocaine.
How dare you?
Right. You sounded rough.
That
right?
was not
what
good.
What was going on
that
there?
I know you stayed in the hotel Friday night.
Here's the thing. That wasn't me. I was late. I was out in the parking lot driving around in a golf cart.
But you stayed in the hotel Friday night, so you wouldn't have to deal with traffic driving
I didn't have to deal with
Saturday
traffic.
Morning.
I was there a half hour early, but then Lightning and I thought it would be fun to drive around in the golf cart in the parking lot and interview people and run things over and stuff like that. So we were doing that. And Lightning said, don't you have to be on the air? And I said, yeah, they usually like me to kind of miss the first break anyway, so it's cool. So Ralph does his impression saying that we're at Universal Amphitheater, which is, of course, not where we were.
Right.
So that's the beauty, because Kevin has a long history on and off the air of being a little bit confused about where the events are that we're broadcasting from.
I've gone to the wrong place occasionally.
You have done that.
Right.
So Ralph gets on and he plays Kevin, because Kevin's generally late. And the joke that he makes when Ralph is trying to be crazy and outrageous, the joke that he makes is, wouldn't it be funny if Kevin thought we were at the Gibson Amphitheater, which is where the other big show of the year is the Acoustic Christmas Show. So that's the joke, right?
Right.
Then Kevin comes in 15 minutes later. Now here's the real Kevin on the air. Let's see what he's got to say.
And I hadn't heard the joke, so I don't know anything about it.
Right.
But then this is me.
106.7 K-Rock, it's KROQ. It's Weenie Roast Day, and we are broadcasting live from the Gibson Amphitheater. Paramore on the bill today. Devo, Hole,
All right. So I got the venue wrong, is what you're saying.
Doesn't sound like a joke, does it? He was serious. He was selling it.
Well, here's the thing. The venue used to be called Irvine Meadows.
Right.
Then it got sponsored by Verizon. So, but once I have Irvine Meadows in the front of my head, it won't move. It refuses. I go, hey, that's not the name. And it says, F you, I'm staying right here. So the only thing that came to my mind is the alternate name was Gibson Amphitheater. I don't have time to work through if that's the right one. It's not Irvine Meadows, and it's the only one I can think of, so I say it. That's how my mind works.
It's so awesome, though, when we're outside and it's 100 degrees out, and we're clearly not inside in Universal City.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, it was funny.
Yeah, that was great. I was very happy with that.
Going to try something new coming up in about 10 minutes or so here on the Kevin and Bean Show. It's Kevin and Bean's wake-up call. We asked you last week to qualify online by just entering, and we've got some contestants, Kevin. We're going to play a little bit of a dating game coming up in a few minutes and send them off to see a phenomenal concert, this time the Warped Tour in Florida. So that's going to be pretty fun, right?
Yeah.
Yes or
maybe.
No.
Could be a lot of fun, could be a lot of bad.
That is coming up here on the Kevin and Bean Show, and comedian Craig Robinson joins us at the top of the hour, too. Right now, though, how about Harvey Levin, TMZ.com, with our Monday recap of what's going on with the celebs. Hey, Harvey, how was your weekend, man?
It was good, guys. How was yours?
Good, thanks.
We had a busy weekend because of the Weenie Rose.
Weenie Rose.
But I got to ask, I didn't get a chance to see her appearance on Spike TV Saturday night, but I did see Sandra Bullock come out on the MTV Movie Awards last night, and it was heartwarming to see the standing ovation and how much love she got, because people haven't had any access to her since this whole thing went down.
Yeah, I mean, she was beloved before this whole thing happened, so I think people were just waiting, and, you know, I had absolutely no doubt this was going to happen. And, you know, she kind of is who she is. She really is considered one of the nicest people in this town. She really is.
Yeah.
Yeah, and she's so genuine up there, and she's so funny, and she's so articulate. I mean, how do you not love her? You know, how do you not feel bad about what happened? But, I mean, you know, usually the Hollywood crowds are pretty jaded, but everybody was on their feet just applauding wildly, to the point where she even had to say, look, it's a live show. We're going to run out of time. You got to let me talk.
How do we talk about her for this long and not mention that she was making out with Scarlett Johansson? That
I thought that's what you were getting at.
Of course that's what we're getting at.
I'm shocked you had a moment there for a second.
That's what I'm saying.
And Scarlett Johansson never looked better than she did last night on that show either, did she, Harvey? My God.
Well, she looked amazing, but, I mean, it's so funny. That I'm sitting here stunned that you started with the heartwarming stuff before. Amazing.
But you know us well enough to know that was Bean with the heartwarming. And it was me sitting by going, mention the kiss, mention the kiss, mention the kiss. Let's talk about the kiss, mention the kiss.
No, the kiss is a little bit hard to find on the internet this morning, too, because apparently MTV is clamping down on people who are trying to YouTube that moment, but it's well worth seeing.
Well, then go to TMZ.com.
There you go. That's a great idea. All right, let's turn our attention to not as good news. I was very unhappy to read your Gary Coleman post today, Harvey. What can you tell us about this for folks who haven't been to the site yet?
Well, there are people trying to sell his death photos.
Really?
Come on.
And photos of him hooked up to the ventilator, photos of him when he was after he died.
I don't know if I'm typical here, but I have zero interest. I mean, less than zero interest. That's repulsive.
I agree.
We turned this away in about half a second, but I'm positive somebody's going to buy it, and it will get pretty big internet traffic. You'll see.
Huh.
I mean, it's just the way things are, but it's disgusting. And, you know, this whole thing is weird. I mean, so much of this is about money and making money off of this. And there are all sorts of people that are just getting, you know, coming out of the woodwork. You would not believe what's going on kind of behind the scenes when we're watching it. I mean, we're seeing it because people are coming to us. But a lot of people are trying to make money off of this guy's back.
So sad because he was so broke.
Yeah, I know, he was so broke, but the story is so tragic that what people are doing is they're trying to get a second life, and and there are some people who are saying, well, you know, I didn't get anything in life from him, but I can get it in death.
Yeah, because the poor guy had very little dignity when he was alive. You would hope at least there's some peace for him now, but apparently not. That's not the world we live in. And finally, you guys have been doing a fantastic job of covering what's been going on with Charlie Sheen. And today is the day that he kind of starts his quote-unquote prison time. Is that right?
So let me give you the hits, runs, and errors here because it's really interesting. So he's going to plead no contest to assault. He's going to get a 30-day jail sentence. 30 days gets whittled down to 17, and it's really 15 because the first and last day, it's just a couple hours each day. So really, it's a 15-day sentence.
Right.
On top of that, Charlie is going to spend his days on work release because the lawyer was able to negotiate so that he's going to basically become a coach at the Theater Aspen, and coach the coach kids, coach the professional actors there. So he basically checks out of jail at 8 in the morning, comes back at 8 at night. So he sleeps there, and he gets to live in Aspen. So
I've never been in jail.
I would do that.
I've never been in jail, but I always pictured it different.
It's a nice jail, too. So this is a good deal. Now, here's the bad news for Charlie. Guess who's in Aspen today for the plea?
Oh, tell us.
You could guess this.
His ex?
Not yet.
Well, not yet. But who would show up in a situation like this?
Denise Richards.
Now, come on, guys. Gloria Allred.
Oh, yes, of course.
Sorry.
Right.
How do we not know that?
Yeah, so of course.
Is it on TV? Then it's Gloria Allred.
She's going to be there with a witness. Now, I'm guessing it's somebody who's going to say that she had a problem with Charlie at some point in the past. But she's saying it's somebody who would have been a witness in the case. She's going to hold a press conference after the plea. So
For what reason? What does that do?
Yeah, I thought this was the end of it.
Well, I think I'm going to read between the lines. I think she's going to say Charlie got away with too sweet a deal.
Okay, but
it's, that's not going to change it, right?
No, it's not going to change anything.
Yeah, the court has decided already what his punishment is going to be.
She's so full of crap.
So basically, 15 days being an acting coach, which really means just signing autographs and posing for photos all day. And then he really the only sentence is for 15 days. Instead of staying in a hotel with room service, he'll be sleeping on a cot in a jail cell. That's about it.
But it's a nice jail. But here's the kicker. Guess who negotiated this for him? This is really interesting.
Denise Richards.
No, close. His lawyer couldn't pull it off. So the lawyer who represents Brooke Mueller, his accuser, the lawyer who represents the woman who Charlie is almost certainly going to divorce, he's the one who's been negotiating this for the last 3 months, and he was able to get for Charlie what Charlie's local lawyer in Aspen couldn't get. He negotiated this whole thing, and he got the work release for him.
Why?
You know, at the time, Brooke and Charlie were really kind of united in this thing, but nobody could do it. The lawyer is Yale Galanter, and he's got deep roots in Aspen. He lives there part-time, and he knows the players, and he was able to hammer this thing out behind the scenes. But it's so ironic that the accuser's lawyer negotiated this incredible deal for Charlie.
And they are still going to get a divorce. They're not attempting to reconcile after this, because for a minute there, it sounded like the story was always just a big misunderstanding.
Well, here's the deal. I know for a fact they each have divorce lawyers. I know for a fact that they're working out all of the terms of the divorce. Now, what they're saying publicly is they're just working it out in case they decide the marriage isn't going to work at some point down the road. Who does that? I mean,
no one I know.
Yeah, no. I mean, I'm hearing it's all but certain.
But if you have to guess of a guy who would be able to pull this off because he's such a good husband, it would be Charlie.
Sure.
Oh, wait, no, it wouldn't be him. Hey, Harvey, we're running out of time. I have two quick things to say to you. One is it was great to see you in your site and Get Him to the Greek.
Oh, cool.
And two is, can Bean enter the Gnarly Naval Contest?
Oh, is that funny? Did you see that this
Can
weekend?
He do that, though? I mean,
I don't know. I don't know what Bean's navel looks
it's like. It's hideous.
Here's the thing. I've got a herniated belly button, Harvey. So it's really bad. I mean, it looks like I'm giving birth to some sort of an alien. But we were afraid. I didn't want to get in any trouble. I didn't want to, because I know you and stuff like that. I didn't know if I would be ineligible to enter the contest.
No. I mean, I think you're eligible.
Yeah.
How did you pull your belly button? How do you get a herniated belly button?
Apparently it is not uncommon. Apparently it's just one of those things that happens sometimes, and it's a fairly minor surgery, but it is something that I'm going to have to address this summer because it's getting gnarly and angry. It's way out.
It's way outy. It's like West Hollywood outy.
I know. I'm going to. But apparently the recovery is fairly painful because, I mean, even standing up, you'll pull your stitches because it's right there in the middle of your stomach. So it's super hard to recover from.
So
it's not a total loss. Enter the contest.
Awesome. Right.
Okay.
He was doing the Iron Man. He's too humble to say it, but he was doing the Iron Man, and around the bicycle leg of it, he fell. And,
all right. So. I am going to upload my belly button picture today, Ben, and see how
okay,
I do
guys.
It. All right. TMZ.com is the entertainment website of record. Check your local listings for the TMZ television show. Our friend Harvey Levin on the phone. Have a great week, dude.
You too, guys.
Bye.
STP right there, who killed it Saturday at the Weenie Rose. Those guys are back, right? It's been a long time since we've seen them
together.
Sounded
great.
They sounded great.
And
sounded amazing.
Scott Weiland tried to jump into the pit on one of his songs and face planted. Went face first right into the pit. They caught him.
Oh, thank God.
But face first. It was awesome.
Guys, you know that that great product. They have the awesome commercials on TV. You know the Axe? They got the Axe Rise shower gel.
Sure.
You know
that?
You've seen those guys?
Sure.
Well, they are awesome. And let me tell you why. Because they know that, as it says here, it's important for guys to pay attention to details when it comes to dating. That's why they came out with the Axe Rise morning shower gel, so you can wake up and stay alert. They are helping us help you, the Kevin and Bean listener, get together with a date. It's the Kevin and Bean wake-up call. You meet somebody on our show, and then every day this week we send you to an amazing concert around the country. And this time, check it out, it's the Warped Tour, July 25th in Orlando, Florida.
Wow.
So someone on the phone right now is going to get a date and a trip and a concert out of this deal. How about that?
It's Kevin and Bean's wake-up call.
I'll wake you up, and then you go, go. You will go see a rock and roll show, show. I'll wake you up, and then you go, go. But you don't have to go so low. I'll wake you up, and then you go, go.
Note to
it's
self.
Time for Kevin and Bean's wake-up call.
Note to self, listen to these ahead of time.
So you don't have to go so low.
We got
Omar's
go
the weak link in this
right
game. All right, why don't we start, Kevin? Unless you need to do that because of where they are on the phone, I was going to suggest we start with saying hi to Jason,
who is
our bachelor, who's going to be doing the choosing between the three female contestants on the phone. Hi, Jason. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. How are you?
Good morning. How are y'all?
Very good. Thank you.
Now, it's funny you should say y'all, because when you entered on the website last week, you said that you were a Southern gentleman having trouble finding an L.A. woman. First of all, how long have you been in Southern California, and what's been the problem for you?
I have been out here for 3 years, and I guess the problem for me is, you know, back home there's a little bit more of a courtship process, and out here, you know, it seems like every woman that I meet is either ready to get married by the end of the year or is ready to go home with you 20 minutes after meeting you, and I kind of...
Oh, man, I hate that when they want to go home with you 20 minutes after meeting you.
But I'm not looking to get married in 6 months either.
No, you want some courtship, sir. You want to sit on the porch with a mint julep and come along with a case of the vapors.
All right, hang on there, Rhett Butler. Let's meet the potential bachelorettes here. I think we've got Jennifer coming up next here. She is on the Super Secret Line.
Yep.
Hi, Jennifer. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. How are you?
Hello. Good morning. Hi, Lisa May.
Hi, Jennifer.
By the way, here's all you need to know about Jennifer, student and waitress in Huntington Beach. So I think you know 100% of them are hot. What's the problem with you? We appreciate that you entered, but you say you've been single for about a year. What's going on, Jen?
Yeah, I got out of a relationship, and I've honestly been having so much fun, but I'm kind of over the whole bar scene, and I would like a guy to court me for a little bit as opposed to trying to get me to go home in 20 minutes.
Well, I do declare, I believe we have a Southern gentleman who can do that for you.
her last blind date experience, by the way, she drove 40 minutes, he forgot his wallet, and then she had to drop him off at his grandma's house.
Oh, nice.
So good times.
Ralph, you're going to be kind of hosting the wake-up call here. Should we go ahead and do Jennifer's question for Jason right now, and then we'll just move on to contestant number two and contestant number three? Save
great idea. While Jennifer's fresh in his mind, let's ask her her question. You ready, Jennifer?
Sure, let's go.
If you were to be stranded on a desert island and they let you bring one personal item with you, what item would that be and why would you bring it?
iPod, because I couldn't live without music.
There you go.
All right, that's a good answer.
Yeah. All right, Jennifer, you hang on. Thanks so much. You may win. It's going to be up to Jason to choose at the end. We'll take contestant number two now. Danielle is on line one, joining us on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Danielle, how are you?
Good. How are you guys? Hi, Lisa May.
Hello, Danielle.
What's your situation? We appreciate you entering. You are single. How and why?
Well, for the last few years, I don't know why. I'm just hopelessly attracted to guys who have girlfriends or are already involved.
I don't know. That's all of us.
We're all married.
Yeah.
You're on the show.
You're in.
That helps.
You also say that you don't notice when guys are hitting on you generally until they're kissing you.
Or trying to.
All right.
Yeah, it's a dead giveaway when they start trying to kiss you.
Yeah.
So you're not exactly picking up the early signals is what you're saying, Danielle. All right, here's your question from Ralph.
Right. Danielle, if you could have one superpower, what would it be and what would you do with it?
I think if I could have one superpower, I would like to be able to be in two places at once.
Two places at once.
Yeah, get a lot done that way.
I like that.
Good idea.
That's very creative.
I like that, too.
All right. Split girl.
You hold on.
Two dates
like
at once.
I like the sound of that, Ralph. I like Ralph's idea better.
That would be your superhero name.
Contestant number three is Clara on line two. Hi, Clara. Thanks for calling the Kevin and Bean Show. How are you?
Good morning.
Hello.
I've been dying to talk to you because you said when you entered last week on the website, your biggest missed hookup opportunity is you always offer Kevin sex, and for 4 years, he's never said yes. Tell me about that.
This is the truth. I met him at Money's Goodbye Party.
Offer,
no deal. Met him at a singles party. Said he's married. I said, this is not a problem. No deal.
Not a problem.
Here's the thing I'm saying about Kevin.
Not for her.
It doesn't work downstairs anymore.
How dare you?
I'm making it up.
Well, you have, we already know you have terrible taste in men, but beyond that, let's see what your question is from Ralph.
All right, Clara, if you had one trip to make in a time machine, where would you go and why?
Oh, I would go to 1999 to see Prince perform his song at New Year's.
You'd go to 1999 to see Prince perform 1999.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I could see.
All right. Yes,
absolutely.
I get to tie in. You guys see my decision-making process is correct.
All right.
Why go see the birth of Christ when you can watch Prince play 1999?
Why 1999? Give Abe Lincoln a heads up? I understand, right. All right, you hang on. So you've heard from Jennifer, Danielle, and Clara. Let's go back to our bachelor, Jason. Jason, you got two pretty good choices on the phone there.
I like Jason because he wants the courting process of taking a stranger to a concert and spending the weekend with her.
Yeah,
so I like this.
You got a chance to hear a little bit from each of the ladies. What do you think there, dude?
They all sound great.
Let me recap quickly. Jennifer said Desert Island with an iPod.
Right.
And then Danielle said two places at one time.
She's split girl.
And then the last girl, of course,
she wants to go see Prince play 1999 in 1999.
Which I support, by the way. I like the symmetry of that. But we're not the ones going to Florida. It's up to you. What do you think there, Jason?
You know, I mean, they all three sound great. Jennifer, I really liked her answer with the iPod. I'm attached to my iPod as well.
Right.
And
so she's the winner?
I would maybe like to go give her the experience of not dating someone who lives with their grandmother.
All right.
All right,
Jennifer.
There you go.
Very good.
Yes.
Jennifer's our big winner.
Ow! Jennifer, you are going to be going with Jason to Florida to see the Warp Tour.
Heck yeah, I'm so ready. Let's go!
Thanks to all of our contestants, and thanks to Axe Rise Morning Shower Gel. It helps you wake up and stay alert, and we'll have another contest tomorrow to another great show. Have fun, you guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yaman!
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It is 5 minutes till 7 o'clock. Linkin Park, Smashing Pumpkins, The Dirty Heads featuring Rome, all on the way on the Kevin and Bean Show. We'll catch up with our friend Craig Wilson. Lisa's friend Craig Wilson. The rest
Craig
of his
Robinson.
Name is Craig Robinson.
Craig Wilson.
From The Office and the new host of Last Comic Standing. He's on the show here in just a few minutes. By the way, my only complaint about the hockey game last night, Ralph, not enough scoring for my taste.
Yeah, it was a bit more goals, especially in the first period when it was 3-0. Oh, what a nightmare. What a disaster.
11 goals in last night's game?
Yeah. I think that
don't
was,
see that very often.
That was hasn't been done in 40 years. Or
I didn't know there was a game last night. I was Laker crazy.
Yeah, yeah. Flyers.
Oh, they were on opposite each other.
Flyers,
there's
Chicago.
That great scheduling again.
Why would they do that?
I don't know. That was dumb.
And Chicago won?
Yeah. Ended up being 7-4 with an empty netter. So
7-4.
It was a high scoring
first
affair.
Game, if I remember correctly, it was 20-17.
First period was 3-0 after the first period. I mean, just the goaltending was not at a premium last
not
night.
A priority.
But, yeah, it was very disappointing. So now it goes back to Philly for game 6, and then game 7, if necessary, back in Chicago. So we'll have to see what happens. But I am feeling less than confident because Chicago looked amazing, especially in the first period last night. They looked really like they were hitting their stride. And they took their two best players, and they split them up on two different lines.
Right.
And that really was effective coaching on their part. So we'll see. You know, look. Flyers have had their back against the wall the entire time in the playoffs. It's been
a miracle run.
Yeah, they've been pulling stuff out of their butt for the whole time. So maybe they got some more magic. We'll have to wait and see.
Do you think it's possible that since you didn't get a chance to play the 3-year-old fan?
Trust me, I've gotten some emails that I should have come into the station yesterday and played the 3-year-old Philadelphia girl talking about Philly, and then that's why they would have won. So it was my fault.
Those 2 days, they did win.
They did. I did play it, and they did win. Yeah. So it's my fault.
All right.
Talk about movies, shall we? Top 10 movies at the box office this weekend. Shrek Forever After was number one at the box office, $25.3 million. This has been number one for weeks now.
Yeah. I'm surprised.
I'm surprised. I won't be surprised, rather, to see there be a fifth Shrek. They keep saying this is the last one, but I don't know if they're going to say no to that. Number two at the box office, Get Him to the Greek. In its debut, only made $17.4 million. Good enough to make it number two. but I think they were hoping for a lot more.
I would think so, too. I was surprised by that.
Maybe. Wow, that's a low box office. That's what they were saying when they saw that. Killers, number three at the box office.
Wait. Who's in that?
Ashton Kutcher.
Nope. Yeah.
And Katherine Heigl.
Nope.
Yep.
That did not come in third.
$16.1 million.
Right behind Get Him to the Greek.
Right
Are you
behind
kidding?
It. Yep. Prince of Persia, The Sands of Time, was fourth. Sex in the City 2. Then Marmaduke, in its debut, made $11.3 million. Iron Man 2, Splice, Robin Hood, and Letters to Juliet, rounding out your top 10 at the box office this weekend. Miley Cyrus is desperate to shed her squeaky clean Disney-fied Hannah Montana image.
Porn?
Yeah, no one has a countdown to 18 more than Miley Cyrus herself. She just can't wait to be bad. You know, she's already done some pole dancing, some lap dancing.
Yep.
She did a sexy layout, remember, for Vanity Fair? That was the big hubbub, right? Because she was 12 or whatever, and she was all nude. And her dad was like, yeah, I like them pictures. They're good.
Yeah.
I got them up all over the trailer. Anyway, now people are talking because she was on Britain's Got Talent last week, and she did a performance where apparently she was making out with one of her dancers, her backup dancers.
Male or female?
Female.
Right. Let's not discourage that.
It was a little lesbiosity there between her and the backup dancer.
And she is, again,
17 years old. Yeah.
That's terrible.
Now, a lot of people got their panties in a twitch. Did you get them in a twitch?
Not really.
I don't know. In a bunch or a twist.
You get a bunch or a twist. You can't get them in a twitch. And she went on her website to defend herself, saying that it was a simulated lesbian kiss. It wasn't a real lesbian kiss.
Oh,
because
what's the difference?
Her hair was in front of their faces, and she said no one could really see what we were doing back there.
I'm going to try that. I'm going to try that, get myself a girlfriend, and then explain to my wife, no, it was simulated sex. It wasn't real sex.
You know, that's what they always tell you when you get the bachelor party packages and you get the strippers. They say, we have the simulated girl-girl act, if you want that, for another $200. And you buy it, and you don't know what the simulated part is, because there's all kinds of actual things going on right in front of you while you're watching. I'm not sure what the simulation is. One simulating a boy while the other one simulating a girl? I don't know, because they sure are touching and doing things to each other. Maybe it's a legality thing. Oh, we can give you the simulated girl-girl act. Anyway, she went on her website to defend herself, saying, people should start focusing a little less on making up ignorant rumors and focus a little more on world peace.
Oh. Nope.
She did,
like not.
She is.
She did not say that.
She did.
Come on.
And by the way, it's not an ignorant rumor that she was making out with a chick on stage. That
she
just happened.
And she wasn't. It was simulated.
Oh, okay.
And you know what you can't do by concentrating on it? Get world peace.
My hair was covering our mouths. There's no way to know what we were doing back there, she said.
I see.
See? Listen, if there's even a question of you whether you're making out with one of your female backup dancers or not, maybe that's not what you want to put out there, Miley Cyrus, at 17 years old, former Disney star.
Yeah.
Or maybe it is.
Maybe it is.
Ordinarily, I would think that Disney would be doing everything they could to hang on to a successful franchise like Hannah Montana. They're going to be so happy to see her go, because it's only a matter of time before there's some sort of sex scandal. They're not going to want to be a part of that. When Hustler Video releases This Ain't Miley Cyrus XXX parody starring Miley Cyrus, they're going to wish they hadn't held on to the Hannah Montana franchise. We'll have to wait and see what happens. And just bad news for me and Kevin. What? Universal Music is sending out legal notices to all the ABBA tribute bands. You know, we got our tribute band there.
Sure.
Kevin and I do. Yeah.
Mama
Mia, Him and Mia. I don't even know what that means. If you got ABBA in the name, they are suing you.
Okay.
So maybe we're in the clear. But ABBA Mania, Swede Dreams, ABBA Tribute, ABBA Queens, and other ABBA Tribute bands are in trouble because they are suing them.
That's kind of rampant a-holery, isn't it? To sue somebody that's a tribute band to you?
Well, you can't use the name ABBA.
No, but
apparently that's what they're complaining about. For instance, Bjorn Again, another tribute band, they're in the clear.
They're
because
cool.
They're not using
ABBA. But you mentioned Swede Dreams, though. What about them?
Because they're called Swede Dreams ABBA Tribute is the full name of the band.
You got to take out the ABBA.
You got to take out the ABBA.
It's so funny. They say ABBA Tribute. I'm saying tribute after ABBA. Yeah.
There's no confusion that it's the real band. The real band hasn't performed in 30 years together.
Why are they dicks?
Right? Back when I was in Abba Zabba, that was a couple of years ago. Today's celebrity birthday is singer Tom Jones. 70 years old today. He can still sing, by the way, that dude.
Yes, he can.
If you're ever in Vegas and you got nothing to do and there's nobody who looks good on the strip, you see Tom Jones performing, do yourself a favor and go see Tom Jones.
Never going to happen.
He is totally gay.
He is not gay, first of all, and he is an amazing performer with a great set of pipes.
But you're telling me if I'm in Vegas and I don't have anything to do.
Well, besides drinking yourself into a coma and gambling, which is what you do. But if you want to take a break from that, you say, oh, you know what? I'm going to catch a show. I never catch a show in Vegas. Who's around? And you look in that guide they leave in your hotel room, and it says Tom Jones. You go. You go to see Tom Jones, and you'll thank me afterwards. That's what I'm saying.
No.
All right. Liam Neeson is 58 years old today. Musician Prince, who, of course, did that song 1999.
I'd see him, but only if I could see it in the year
I would like to go back to 1999 to see him perform that. He is 52. Gordon Gano of Violent Femmes is 47. Eric Kretz of Stone Temple Pilots is 44. Dave Navarro is 43. A lot of our artists are having birthdays today. Michael Cera is 22. And comedian actor Bill Hader turns 32 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat. Trey Cool, a drummer for a little band you may have heard of called Green Day, joins us next hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show, talking about the Green Day rock band. Also, what's up with the Furries? And former sports guy of the Kevin and Bean Show, Matt Money Smith, will be on to talk about NBA and NHL finals, both in progress right now. And by the way, not cool to have them both on at the same time last night.
Yeah, what's up with that? You can't
set up leagues and networks. Yeah, not cool. There must be a way around that.
You can't have the NHL game at noon and then the NBA at 5? What's happening?
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Here's the problem, Kevin. So people go out to see Shrek, the Shrek movie that's out there in theaters now, the number one film. Remember, they go out and see that because they love the Craig Robinson. And then they get home, and there's only three different Craig Robinson TV shows on this week they get a chance to watch. It's not enough Craig Robinson on the TV is what I'm saying.
I'm saying he's a little lazy, I think. You have The Office.
Right.
Right, Thursday nights, right?
And then you have the VH1 Hip Hop Honors, which is tonight.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And then there's The Last Comic Standing, which is tonight.
Right.
It's all Craig Robinson all the time, and Craig now joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show. How are you, man?
Don't forget the Cleveland show where I play Freight Train Brown.
Oh, the Cleveland show, too. Forgive
Cleveland's
me.
Father.
you're on four shows in the same week is what you're telling us, and the number one movie in America.
And then I'm performing at West Palm Beach this weekend at the Improv. I'll be somewhere live.
Craig Robinson.
I'm in New York right now. I just did the Today Show for the first time. It was crazy.
You use your keyboard and play, or do they just talk to you?
I sang a little bit. They had me do the jingle from the Dunder Mifflin joint. But it was Natalie, Anna, and Al.
Ooh. Oh, I love Natalie.
And we put it down.
Yeah.
Yeah. You should call her Twitter.
You put it down.
I definitely want to see that. Well, listen, Craig, I was very excited when I heard that you were going to be the new host of Last Comic Standing, obviously because you're a super funny guy, but B, you have been there. You know what it's like to come up and be an amateur and try to get noticed in comedy. I mean, didn't you have some sort of a comedy search early on in your career, too?
I did. I was in a couple of contests. One that I won, one that I got second place. But, yeah, I know what it means to get in there and put it on the line and, like, have a strategy behind it and have to go in and rip and kill for like 2 minutes. So yeah, I'm feeling for these comics, and I see them coming through. And you know, with this season of Last Comic, you get a lot of comics who are not comics, you know, people who just come out for the cattle call. And then you got some comics who've been doing it for a while. You got some brand new people, but there's some strong voices in there, and I think some people are gonna really surprise America.
Now, when you say they're not comics, I hope you're talking about, like, in the early American Idol, when the people who can't sing get up and sing. I hope you're talking about, you have some of those people that are horrible.
Exactly.
Yes.
What I'm trying to tell you.
Yes.
Right,
so
now.
Much fun.
That's the best.
This is the voice of Craig Robinson on the phone. Of course, we're talking about Last Comic Standing, 2-hour premiere tonight on NBC. Speaking of the American Idol comparison, so many of those kids, God bless them, but they're delusional. They really think that they're going to make a career out of this. They're going to be the next Kelly Clarkson or Carrie Underwood or something like that. Do as many people show up for Last Comic Standing thinking there's actually money in comedy? I mean, is that what's driving them, or do they just have some sort of a passion for the art form, or what?
Well, this you can win $250,000 just in this competition. So there's definitely some money there. And then I think the ones who really get it understand that there's exposure no matter what. And comedy is a lot about building that resume. You try to get in the clubs. Everybody wants to see a tape. And in some places, you can only get it if you've been on a national show. So this is really going to boost a lot of people. And, change the game for some careers.
Is the delusion factor as strong as American Idol, where they go, you don't know, none of you know, I don't need you, and the judges all go, you're terrible, and they go, yeah, I'm going to make it anyway, I don't need you.
I think that there was some of that. There was definitely a couple of tense moments, and the judges couldn't be nicer or funnier.
That's right.
And Natasha Leggero and Andy Kindler and Greg Giraldo. So they're doing a job holding it down. Every time you go to them, they have something to say that's going to crack you up. But yeah, a couple of people got upset. A couple of people did get upset. So yeah, look out for that, too. And a couple of, like, good comics. You know, just like took it the wrong way, I think.
I gotta tell you, I'm spoiled by seeing great comedians
really
a lot.
Good. Yeah.
I went one night to a club where it was a lot of people's first time, and that's when you realize how far the people who are good have come.
How many hours and hours
yes,
and hours
it
of work.
It is brutal sometimes to see people up there trying to, like, find a voice and work it out. It can just be rough. And that's why Craig's
there. Yeah, the development process is it's very, very complicated. You have to get on stage every night. It's an art form. You know, it's not overnight. It takes years, and you gotta, you know, respect it and love it. And if you love anything enough, eventually it will give up its secrets to you.
Or you'll be beaten down so much you realize it's not for you and you should quit.
Right. You
know, one of the other. Or that. Yeah.
All right. Before you go, Craig, we want to share with our audience, here's a preview highlight of The Last Comic Standing. And you'll see what Mr. Robinson is bringing to the program tonight on NBC. Check it out.
There's a pregnant lady ready to tell her jokes. She won't give up her spot, even though her water broke. Last Comic Standing is different. So different. I'm Craig Robinson, and I'm your host. Welcome to season 7 of Last Comic Standing.
That'll be tonight on NBC at 8, VH1 Hip Hop Honors
at
9.
Are you laughing or beatboxing? What's happening, Craig?
I was kind of beatboxing. Last Comic Standing. Yeah.
Craig,
check all out. The Hip Hop Honors was crazy, too. Everybody on there was super, super cool. One of the highlights, best things I've ever done in my career was hanging out with the Dirty South hip-hop honorees and all of that.
So NBC at 8 o'clock, that's Last Comic Standing. And then VH1 at 9 o'clock, that's VH1 Hip-Hop Honors. And then The Office is on Thursdays at 9 on NBC.
And then Family Guy's on
Family Guy.
All right, Craig, you're the best, man. Thanks for squeezing in some time for your white friends. We appreciate it.
I love you all, man. Thank you very much.
Thank you, man.
I'll see you in about a week.
Thank you, man.
Bye
now.
We're going to be looking for your calls in just a few minutes here on the Kevin and Bean Show. If you were with us at the Weenie Roast on Saturday and you've got some funny or interesting stories you want to tell us, we'll do a little recap for you. That's on the way from the Kevin and Bean Show. First, though, Lakers game last night, NBA Finals, Lakers-Celtics. Great game, by the way. I know frustrating outcome for you, Kevin, but you have to admit it was a very entertaining game. A lot of good things to watch.
Nope. You don't understand that. It's not a good game when the team you're rooting for loses. It's not a good game.
We will have to disagree on that. But here's what I'm saying. One of the funniest things I've ever seen in the history of my watching sports happened last night. The microphones are still up as the announcers are throwing into a commercial break, and there's somebody who must have been standing very close to the booth who managed to say hello to one of his friends using a very popular colloquial term that oftentimes African-Americans enjoy using. It made it to the TV. Here's the beeped version from last night.
Dude's using the N-word, and it gets through. It's awesome.
Nice.
Boston leading by 7. Laker ball when we come back.
On!
Yeah. Right on the TV. Very,
oh
very funny. If you were celebrity watching at Staples Center last night, maybe you saw our next guest. Khloe Kardashian was there rooting on her husband, Lamar Odom. And Khloe joins us on the phone to catch up with everything that's going on in her world right now on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Khloe, how are you?
Hi, how you doing?
We're doing fine. Are you, what's going on there? What kind of noise am I hearing?
I'm eating my breakfast.
Oh, what? We didn't mean to interrupt. Is this a bad time for you?
No, I'm always eating, so you really, there'd be no time to talk to me.
What are you having?
Cheerios.
Cheerios?
Oh, that's nice.
All right.
Not the cereal. All those girls from Glee.
Oh,
okay. The cheerleaders on Glee.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, I've eaten them.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, Well, Chloe, you and your famous sisters are always in the tabloids.
Oh,
and
those
every
skinny bitches.
Yeah.
Well,
I hate them.
You did lose the genetic lottery in that family, that's for sure. But every week there's a new rumor about one of you being pregnant. Last week it was that Kim was pregnant. That was on the cover of one of the tabloids. This week they're saying you're pregnant. What about that?
No, I'm not pregnant.
You're not.
You're not pregnant.
I'm just fat.
Okay.
Oh.
Well, I mean, technically I'm not pregnant.
What does that mean?
Technically, what do you mean?
I did eat a baby.
Okay, that's not...
So there is a baby in my stomach.
That's not the same thing.
But I'm not pregnant with one.
Okay.
That's what I'm trying to say.
Because they asked Lamar, and he said that he didn't think you were, or something like he wasn't...
He seemed uncertain.
He was uncertain.
Yeah. He is uncertain.
Yeah.
Just between you and me, we don't have, like, a really active sex life.
You don't?
No.
Oh, how come? You guys are practically newlyweds. What's up with that?
I know, but he doesn't want to tend to my lady garden. I don't know why.
Do you tend
sometimes
to...
I need to leave a trail of Hershey's Kisses just to get him there.
He does love candy.
I put Reese's Pieces out. He's like E.T. He just goes along until I get him where I need him. Sometimes I have to put mounds on my mounds in order to get him to touch me.
Oh, that's a grim image right there.
Because he likes candy.
He likes candy a lot.
Yes, we understand that.
He's famous
that,
for liking candy.
A lot.
He enjoys
really
eating sweets.
Candy.
He does.
Yes,
he eats
does.
A lot of candy.
He eats candy
no,
all
we got
day,
that.
Every day.
We got that.
I'm just saying it's candy.
Right. No, we got that. Well, perhaps you could spend a little bit of time trimming.
Oh, it's making... Santana. That's good.
Oh, you're eating, still eating the Cheerios, are you?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, maybe we called it a bad time. Maybe we should let you get back to that.
Well, it isn't good. Okay. That much I know.
All right, Chloe. Thank you for the...
Green Day Rock Band coming out. We'll talk to Trey Cool, drummer from the band, in just a few minutes. Ralph's got the showbiz beat on the way, and Matt Money Smith is going to be joining us now. Money's the guy you got to talk to with his Petros and Money show, Kevin. They just had Commissioner Stern on the other day from the NBA.
Oh, fantastic.
So maybe Money laid it down about the refereeing in the NBA Finals.
I talked to him on Saturday when he came out on stage and we introduced him as the King of Mexico.
Yes.
And then he introduced the King of Mexico as you, and then King of Mexico brought on Hole. That happened on Saturday.
That was pretty funny.
Well, you had a little person playing me, though.
No. We had King of Mexico. We had seven plans by the time, because Bean leaves, like, at the very first second that he can.
Right.
So he was not there. People, and by the way, just a message to everybody. Look, I know we work together. We work together a lot, Bean and I. I find him very funny. We're not that social off the air. Like, we don't hang out a lot because Bean's not a hangouter. So stop asking me where he is. Here's the answer. I don't know. Ever.
He doesn't tell you.
Ever, ever, ever do I know.
Well, I'm not really hanging out with anybody, though.
Right.
It doesn't have anything to do with you. I just,
right.
I mean, I saw you
saying.
As much as I saw Lisa or Dave or anybody.
This is not a slap
Dave.
Against you. I'm just saying the answer to that question, just no going in, is that nobody knows.
Right. Nobody knows, right. I was back at the furry convention.
Right.
All right, here's the deal. We want to take your calls, by the way, if you have some weenie stories you want to share, if you were there, particularly if something funny happened, 1-800-520-1067. Now, I understand, Kevin, before you even got into the venue on Saturday, you ran into some fans.
Well, yeah, Lightning met me out in the parking lot with a golf cart, and I said I'm gonna drive because I love driving golf carts.
They are fun.
Everyone should have their own golf cart, right?
Yes.
So he sat over on the side so that he could videotape me, and he was sitting on the front of it, so mm-hmm. I knew he was like in a very precarious position. So I started trying to run down cones and run things over, and he was hanging on for dear
Flying
life.
Him off.
It was a good time. This is before the show, yeah.
This is the way it should be. Who's more responsible with a golf cart than me? Golf cart, move!
That's what I was running through the crowd, and then I decided to try something out.
How many of these cones do you think I could take out?
Now, here's my question. I sound drunk, right?
A little bit.
Usually, yes.
I hadn't been drinking. I swear to you I hadn't been drinking. But I think I now permanently just sound drunk.
Well, it's like Dick Clark is never going to get his voice back. You know, I mean, once you've had a stroke, essentially, you're damaged for life. Same thing with you.
How many of these cones do you think I could take out? I'm going to go for 10. Hey, oh! 1, 2, hey! 3, I'm sitting on the 4, front. 10. He does it.
Touch it.
I want to touch it.
Touch it.
Can I sign his boob?
Boob.
Okay. There's like 20,000 women here. I'm signing
you
this dude's boob.
Yeah, it was an odd crowd that sits out there in the parking lot before the show.
Those people are hardcore.
Do they drink? Question is that, and a lot of them, here's the funny part, a lot of them would get there super early and then would park way far away There's 10,000 parking places closer.
So they can get out quick.
They don't want those. Well, maybe, but they have to then
walk all the way past all those cars. That is true. I don't know.
I'm not sure exactly why that happens.
And by the way, don't you pace yourself on a day like that where you know you're going to be outside and it's going to be 90 degrees? Don't you not spend extra time in the sun if you don't have to?
Yeah, of course, but this is drinking 101. I mean, this people who are overexcited because it's going to be a great day, they don't understand how long the day is.
Yeah.
It really does start at 1, and it really is over at midnight.
You actually have time to get drunk, sober up, and then get drunk again.
That's correct,
if
yes.
You do it
so
right.
You don't need to start out in the parking lot drunk. A lot of those people, there's no food, you know, just
sure. Well, that ruins the drinking.
But so anyway, that's why I was. That's why I missed the first part of the broadcast. You know,
okay.
There were some great musical acts. I mean, I know we kind of take it for granted. We're so lucky to work at this radio station. If you go to those shows, you're so lucky to be at those radio stations. You take for granted how talented so many of the artists that we play on this show are. But man, there were some great performances. I mean, like the Deftones, for instance.
Great.
They're so good live.
Yeah.
Yeah. You forget about how good they are live. They're not a band that automatically springs to mind because they don't tour all that often, maybe. But you see them and you go, my God, they're good. Spoon, unbelievably
Spoon
entertaining.
Great.
Unbelievably. The Silver Sun Pickups, those guys, when they get into a groove, when they jam, and by the way, no one looks like they're having more fun on stage than the Silver Sun Pickups kids, too.
Yeah.
They were just tremendous. Always a thrill. I know they've been on the Weenie Roast before this year, but they're always great. A lot of people were like, wow, what's Courtney going to be like? I haven't seen her in years. Boy, was she having a great time. Boy, did she seem so happy to be there.
Yeah,
she did,
I need to know less about...
her lady parts?
Yeah. I don't need to know about douching from her.
I don't know why.
We learned a lot, really.
15 times.
Yeah. Courtney is unfiltered. That's one of the reasons, Kevin, why you love having her on the radio show as a guest. And it's one of the reasons why, you know, you can't take your eyes off her because you never know what you're going to get. But, I mean, she sounded great. She looked great.
Paramore tore it up as well, by the way.
Paramore was amazing.
Yeah.
And at
the
end, when B.O.B. came out and Eminem and they did that airplane song, that was
actually
crazy.
I think that
was
just
great.
That was just your imagination.
Dude, play along. People who weren't there won't know, and they'll think like that happened.
Now, here's what I want to know. And Daniel, you hang on. We're going to get to your call about your penis here in a minute. Why didn't you want to see Devo? They were incredible. And the crowd was going crazy for them.
I don't know. You know, I don't have an appreciation of older bands. I recognize that as a weakness.
So that's not a band that ever influenced you.
Not 1%. And I look at them and I go, if I'm wearing that hat when I'm 55, somebody take me out. Take me out from behind so I don't see it coming, but just take me out. I don't know. I don't know. I just, you know, Jed came out. He said it was the most influential band of his life.
Yes, he did. Yeah.
I just thought, I saw it as an opportunity to get a drink.
They were so fun, though. And the one thing I'll say is, I mean, they visually are so interesting because they, you know, they really have that phenomenal stage show with all of the videos and everything and the interaction that they do. And it's just, I mean, they were really, really good. And the stuff that they did from the new album, I mean, I hope we end up playing some of it, but it really sounded great. I mean,
what was the first song? The first song was good. It was the new one. Don't Shoot Me. Yeah, Don't Shoot Me, yeah.
Don't Shoot Me, yeah. And Don't Tase Me, Bro.
Oh, they say Don't Tase Me, Bro in it. Yeah, it was
hilarious. And then a lot of people were also kind of holding their breath a little bit. You know, maybe some of the STP performances in the past have been a little uneven, but they sounded great.
They were rocking it.
They were loud. And Scott, you can tell, was having a great time. I've never seen a guy sweat more on stage since Whitney Houston. Have I never seen someone sweat as much as Scott was sweating on Saturday night.
All due respect to every other band he's been in and his solo work. Nah, his solo work's not that good. He belongs with that band. And that band together, I watched those guys and I was just thinking to myself, I would listen to this music without Scott singing. They're that good a band. And then Scott, when he's on, I mean, that, to me, STP, that's STP and that's where he should be.
Perfect fit.
I was a little worried about him. They did come out and do an encore and he wanted to jump into the pit to sing. And tripped on something and just went head first. I mean, he face planted right into the crowd.
Oh,
and
it didn't work out ideally.
I didn't see because I wasn't that close, but I couldn't tell if he hit the fence or if they caught him somehow. He did get up and start singing again, but man, was he going about 200 miles an hour face first for about 1 second. It must have been horrifying.
Wow. And Sublime with Rome was headlining on Saturday, and they had the place singing every word to every song. I mean, it just was it seemed like a Grateful Dead concert or something. It was so much love happening at Sublime being on stage. Because so many, you know, most people, Sublime hit big. Their biggest songs came after the band had already disbanded due to Brad's death. So most people have never had a chance to see Sublime live. And it's one of most people's favorite bands. So you can imagine how much love there was for those guys. All right, let's squeeze in a couple of phone calls. 1-800-520-1067. If you've got a weenie roast story, if you were there, tell us what you saw. Tell us what you did. Let's start with Daniel on the Kevin Meade Show. Hey, Daniel.
Hey, what's up, party people?
What's going on?
So we were in the car in the freeway driving to Weenie Roast.
Mm-hmm.
We're getting drunk, smoking weed. All of a sudden, we get a sudden stop, a halt because of traffic. The beer pours over my pants. I dropped a joint in my pants.
Oh, no. Sudden,
wait. You're telling me you set your junk on fire?
I set both my junk and my ass on fire.
Wow. While you were driving in the car?
I wasn't driving, but I was a passenger.
On
yeah.
the way oh to God. The show.
So I went to the emergency room, missed the whole thing. And now I got to go to school with a huge just cast on my ass. On my
oh,
head.
My God.
Are you kidding? Are you making this up? Because this sounds too funny to be true.
No, I really look like almost a black woman with the ass and everything.
That's
it's like
so awesome. Great. I love what you.
What did the hospital tell you? How much damage did you do with the fire?
Oh, nothing. Just first degree.
Oh!
No, first degree's not bad, right? It's
third degree, that's the worst.
On your penis, though, even first degree has got to hurt.
Oh, yeah.
That's the most. That's about the most sensitive skin on your body, right?
Yeah.
Too much information.
That all is right. The best story Kevin, I've ever heard. What?
Kevin, you excited for the new German video, Two Girls, One World Cup?
Nicely done.
And so it begins.
He's got a whole junk. I would like to apologize to the woman who being insulted. He did walk up to a woman and I think, if I recall the story correctly, touched her belly and said, oh, are you pregnant? And she said, no.
Oh. You know better. Come on.
I'm not pregnant. I'm just fat.
Oh, hey, got a little baby action going in here.
No, I don't.
I'm
so sorry to her.
And by the way, it was one of those things. We've all had these moments. As it was coming out of my mouth, I knew that it should not be coming out of my mouth.
Yeah.
That's what she said. K-Rock is KROQ, and it is 7:55.
The guy screaming in the studio is Ralph Garman, who joins us for the Showbiz Beat on a Monday. What's going on, Ralph?
It is Monday. That means we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Today is no different. Shrek Forever After. $25.3 million made it number one. You know, we're so jaded. We're so spoiled. You look at $23 million, and everybody's like, eh.
Right.
Did okay. But it is sort of a lackluster box office so far this summer season. Hollywood is in a panic. Who will save it?
I don't know. Not Ashton Kutcher.
Human Centipede.
Get him to the Greek.
Human Centipede.
Re-release the
right.
Human Centipede. Yeah. Get him to the Greek was second at the box office. $17.4 million. Killers with Ashton Kutcher and Catherine Snaggletooth-Heigl came in at number three. Prince of Persia, The Sands of Time was fourth. Sex and the City 2, Marmaduke, Iron Man 2, Splice, Robin Hood, and Letters to Juliet rounding out your top 10 at the box office this weekend. Splice, a disappointment, just $7.5 million in this debut weekend.
And I heard some people, I talked to people who saw it and loved it, by the way.
Yeah,
really
I
really thought it was good.
I heard it's terrifying. I heard it's genuinely an excellent horror thriller. Yet no one went.
Can't wait. I didn't see Get Him to the Greek, busy weekend, but I'll go to that one. That looks good.
Spoiler alert, does he get him to the Greek?
Well, I don't want to give it away.
Oh, okay.
But yes.
I'm glad you're using all your decorum. My friends, I'm now married. Rush Limbaugh got married on Saturday to Catherine Rogers. He is 59. She is 33. It's his fourth marriage.
Excellent.
Yeah, interesting. Her first. Elton John was hired to perform at the ceremony for $1 million. The theme of the wedding was an Hawaiian-themed luau.
Okay.
Someone mistook me for a pig and put me on a spit. My friend.
Did they get married in Hawaii?
I don't think so.
Okay.
But it does not say here where they get married. They said it was Hawaiian themed. So.
Didn't there used to be some sort of stigma for public figures to be constantly married and remarried? It doesn't seem like that exists anymore because it's just so commonplace now.
Well, Larry King ruined it for everyone. Just you know.
Yeah, maybe. I guess compared to Larry King, Rush Limbaugh looks pretty stable.
Exactly.
And after three, don't you go, maybe it's not for me, and then four, don't you go, hey, I'm not good at this?
No, but there used to be, like Johnny Carson, who used to host The Tonight Show, would come out and do Liz Taylor jokes because she was married like six or seven times.
Yeah, I guess.
You know?
Yeah.
Someone who did that really stood out.
Yeah. So now it is kind of commonplace to marry and remarry. More movie news. Kim Kardashian apparently in talks to take over the role that Angelina Jolie started back in a few years ago with Tomb Raider. Lara Croft.
Really?
All right. Yeah.
Is she an actress, Kim Kardashian?
No.
And not that,
that concerns
role requires
me,
it, though, right?
Tomb Raider, yeah, you really just have to
look good
look
in the
hot
costume.
In a tight T-shirt and like leather Daisy Dukes and just run around and flash a gun and,
right.
You know.
She can do that.
She can do that. I think that's pretty good casting. Speaking of casting, Rosie Huntington Whiteley.
Yes.
Whose name you may not know right now, but she is a Victoria's Secret model who will be starring in the new Transformers movie.
Oh, yeah, I think she's hot.
She's attractive.
Yeah.
Exotically attractive. I mean, she's not classically pretty, but she's hot.
Yeah.
She's not an upgrade from Megan Fox, the actor she's replacing, that's for sure.
That's true. I don't know. Her looks sometimes look great to me, and then other photos not so good. So we'll have to wait and see the movie. Anyway, she's going through quite the training program, apparently, to star in Transformers 3. They say they've got her already working out with stuntmen. She's doing stunt training, learning firearms lessons, and she's getting fitness instruction from two different trainers in order to get ready for the film.
Mm.
So it sounds like it's going to be a grueling experience for her. Well, we saw how grueling it was for Heidi Montag when she auditioned.
That's true.
For Michael Bay.
That's true.
And she said, "This is for you, Michael Bay." Bang!
She shot that pistol like three times?
Like three times. She walked over to another target and shot it.
That was it.
Speaking of movies, I don't know if you caught the MTV Movie Awards last night.
Nope.
I was not impressed. But that show is never really very good. However, Katy Perry was singing last night. She did her California Girls.
I've seen the pictures. I didn't see the broadcast. And I don't want to ever hear that noise from Bean again, ever.
Wow.
She's so full of wind. Wouldn't you agree?
Oh, stop it.
No one likes that phrase, and it's not taking off, Bean.
We haven't had a chance to talk about it yet. But Tom Cruise, as Les Grossman in his character from Tropic Thunder, came out and danced like a mofo with Jennifer Lopez, step for step. Was unbelievable.
Yeah. As fresh as today's headlines. That Tropic Thunder comedy.
I understand, but I'm saying, but that is also Tom Cruise's most popular character of the last 10 years, that's for sure. I mean, it's the only thing that people still are into him doing. Everything else, people are like, whatever. But, I mean, that was very impressive. For a guy who's not a dancer, to go out there and do that at his age, I was very impressed with that.
At his age?
What are you talking about?
How old do you think Tom Cruise is? He's not Buzz Aldrin.
But he's 47 years old, a guy who's never danced.
And he
that's
works
impressive.
Out and runs and lifts, and he is in the best shape of his life right now.
Look, most 47-year-old guys could not go out there and learn that and do that. Let's face it.
Anything else you want to say, Bean?
I sort of have a boner.
Yeah. Right. No, I was just impressed with his performance.
Take it easy.
Good for you.
All right. Tom Cruise dances.
Super. What happened to you over the weekend? Did you go take a personality test down at the center, and now they got their hooks in you? You all right? Holy crap, are you excited about Tom Cruise dancing?
He's been talking about him off the air three times as much.
Wow. It was a surprise, and I thought it was one of the few things on the show that really was a home run. That's all I'm saying.
It might be best if you just let it go, okay?
I don't know if you noticed or not, but Katy Perry had on short shorts and her boots hanging out.
I was right there with you.
Imagine
you're not.
For her age out there dancing with Snoop Dogg. I couldn't believe it.
You're not right there. You haven't talked about her hardly at all.
Damn.
When Ralph brought up Katy Perry, I was right there with you in agreement on how awesome she was. But
stop it. Yeah. You're being played off.
All right. Anyway, we have Trey Cool in 5 minutes, I'm being told, by the way.
All right.
All right, then. Is that your subtle
don't mean to be
way
a buzzkill.
Saying wrap it up?
Well, it wasn't subtle.
I didn't find it subtle at all.
But wrap it.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
Okay, go with
Ralph. Here we go. Sometimes I give myself the creeps. Oh, that's welcome to paradise. I hope you had the time of your life. The Jesus of the Barry on holiday on the boulevard of broken dreams. Welcome to our new kind of tension all across the alien mission. Do you know the enemy? Do you know the enemy?
All right. All right, we get it. Green Day has a lot of songs we like. We understand. And now you can play them for your own self in the comfort of your own home. Green Day Rock Band, available everywhere tomorrow for Xbox 360, PlayStation 3, and the Wii. Let's welcome back our friend Trey Cool, drummer for the band Green Day, back on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Trey, how are you, man?
Hey, man. You know, we found a good trick to get me up early to be with you guys here this morning.
What's the trick?
I'm in Helsinki.
Oh, excellent. So just time
reels?
Wow.
Yeah. It's almost evening over here, which means the sun has no intention of going down.
Dude, I was there last summer. I love that city. It's so much fun.
It is awesome here. Totally.
Good times. Well, listen, I know we don't have a lot of time. We want to get the information about the Green Day Rock Band. Now, this can't be true, but it's the Beatles, and then it's you. That's it for Rock Band, for bands that have their own version of the game?
That's all she wrote.
Wow, unbelievable. How about that? I mean, it's got to be odd for you to be in a category with just the Beatles.
It's pretty groovy, man. We're all huge Beatles fans, and I think we move around a lot more than the Beatles, though. So
sure.
Our game's probably more likely to cause epileptic seizures.
Exactly. And I wanted to talk about that because this is the fascinating thing about these games for people to play. There's so much work that goes. I mean, there must be thousands of man hours that goes into it from hundreds of people to get a game ready for market. How much did the band have to do? What was your homework like to prepare for the thing to get made right?
Well, we had to write all those 47 songs, first of all.
Sure.
Record them.
Well, there's that.
Yeah, okay, that's...
But you did that before the game.
Yeah, just like took pictures of our instruments, took pictures of us, got old, like all this archive stuff and included it for, you know, content. If you are doing good, you get to unlock some embarrassing stuff.
What's embarrassing that you can unlock?
Yeah.
What's embarrassing? Tell me something.
Pretty much anything on there that you unlock is going to be
okay.
Like, so old school that it's like, oh, I haven't seen that in a while. They're really, like, there's Billy doing an interview, like eating a cheeseburger.
Good. Good.
I heard that there is stuff that even Green Day fans maybe haven't seen in 20 years. It's been so deep in the archives before you guys released it on Green Day Rock Band.
And there's unreleased stuff too, so.
Can I unlock a selection where you're playing the Letterman show and for some reason, right when the song ends, you sprint off stage? Can I unlock that?
Yeah, you know, there'll be more to come.
I'll never forget that. I was like, I don't know what just happened, but that was really funny.
We're talking to Trey Cool from the band Green Day about Green Day Rock Band, available everywhere tomorrow. I know you guys are always open to figuring out new ways to kind of expand the brand and make your fans happy. You know, everything from, you know, the Broadway show to the, you know, the kinds of crazy tours you do and stuff like that. But was Rock Band something you wanted to do because you guys are fans of it, or just you saw it as an opportunity to kind of get more of your music out there?
You know, we definitely like it. As far as video games go, it's like, it's nonviolent. It's, you know, it's music, and, you know, gets kids into, you know, maybe songs that they wouldn't otherwise get into. Because, you know, let's face it, kids are fans of video games before they're fans of, you know, bands or, you know, yeah, radio stars or movie stars or anything. So, you know, it kind of shows the kids that there's other things to do with your Xbox than blow up zombies or shoot people and, you know, war games.
Although both of those are fun as well.
Yeah.
Hey, nothing wrong with practicing killing zombies for when the actual zombie invasion comes. I think that's excellent use of a kid's time. I know. That's what I'm saying. Tell me real quick, Trey, before you have to go. Three different settings that you can be Green Day in the game. Three very special venues to you guys in the band. What are they?
There's like a warehouse gig back in the day, and like we even look younger, and we got the old haircuts and the old equipment.
It's mid-90s?
Then we've got, like, the American Idiot Bullet in the Bible set up, which is Milton Keynes. And then we've got the Fox Theater in Oakland for the 21st Century Breakdown stuff.
That's kind of cool. And did you turn over a bunch of video to them, and they...
Yeah, we actually... they had to come and bring, like, film crews and stuff. I think we filmed in, like, Dallas, Phoenix or something, a couple of places. You know, they could put camera right over me, like, put just all these angles that they needed to sort of mimic us, you know, because we didn't want to put the suits on and perform
right
in the little weird box. So, and they're like, well, I don't know if we could do it. And then somebody figured it out. It's like, well, we can do it. It's actually kind of sweet. sweet.
How do you look as a cartoon? Were you happy with that?
Yeah, man. It's good.
It's got to be weird. It has to be weird to look at yourself and go, okay, that's a cartoon me.
Well, you know, usually a cartoon is like if you get down on the boardwalk and the guy draws you, you know, he's, you know, for me, it would just be like a nose, right?
Right.
A hairdo and like little, you know, beady eyes. And that's it.
Right.
Sort of like take your weirdest feature and run with it.
But, and exaggerate it, right?
Yeah, this was no exaggeration. It's kind of made us look like, you know, John Madden, you know, NFL sort of style, you know, animation.
But the players, sure, not John Madden, though. You're talking about the players.
We all look like John Madden.
Okay, good.
Green Day Rock Band is in stores tomorrow for Xbox 360, PS3, Wii. That's right. We're going to give away a copy of the Rock Band right now for you. Plus, check this out. What? A Rock Band? What's that? Say that again, Trey?
A Rock Band and a turducken.
And a turducken. Oh, awesome. We'll throw it in a turducken.
Nice.
Listen to this. You get the game, you get the guitar strap, you get the Trey Cool drumsticks, you get the Green Day Rock Band t-shirt, all of that for caller 20 right now at 1-800-520-1067. And we're going to qualify you to see the band, check this out, in Denver, Colorado on August the 28th. Also, you could win, if you're the grand prize winner, a Rock Band Xbox 360 bundle and an autographed guitar from the band. Go to kevinb.com for another chance to win, but call now if you want to win that. Trey, have fun in Finland, man. Congratulations on the Rock Band. You know we love you here on the Kevin and Bean Show. We'll talk to you soon, brother.
Yeah,
yeah. I've had my fill of furries after this weekend. I got to be honest. I'm not eager to hang out with a guy in a tiger suit anytime soon. Covered.
Go to kevinandme.com if you'd like to see pictures of the furry convention that was at our hotel. Ralph, what? Explain furries.
Furries are a subculture who have a serious attachment, attraction, affection for anthropomorphic animals, which are animals with human characteristics. You know how Disney would always make their animals, you know, walk on two legs and talk and stuff like
right.
that? Usually the fixation, from what I understand, I did a little research on this when I worked for Playboy Television. I did a story on the furries. They grow strong attachments to those kind of characters when they're young, and that affection, attraction stays with them throughout their adult lives. So they tend to get together and dress up in animal costumes, like you would see mascots wear for sporting events and that
full,
kind of stuff.
You can't tell who it is, full costume.
Full-blown animal costumes. And they congregate together, and then for some furries, there is a sexual element of that, in which they like to have sex while in the costumes with other people in costumes.
Okay, so basically a little kid has a Winnie the Pooh doll in his room, for instance, and somehow develops some affection for that and becomes sexually turned on by a Winnie the Pooh bear?
That's
is that what you mean?
That's what the psychologists attribute the furry fixation too. Yeah.
Let's say a guy travels with a sock monkey all his life when he's small, and as he grows up,
I would say he's more of a plushie than a furry.
Okay.
Because people who are plushies like to have sex with stuffed animals themselves.
Okay. With no other person involved.
With no other person involved. So if you want to bone your sock monkey, then that would make you a plushie.
I see.
If you grew up watching Thundercats or something every Saturday morning, and you loved the talking, acting, humanistic type animal characters, that's what you try to emulate, and that's what you're attracted to as you get older.
We're going
to
take your calls at 1-800-520-1067 if you are if you're a part of this subculture. I do have one question, is that, are there any females?
Yes.
There are.
But, I saw some. I saw some at the hotel. Some.
But they are a lesser extent than, it's primarily a male fetish fixation, and then beyond that, about 25% of men who are furries that they've, you know, surveyed identify as gay, and then another 50% identify as bisexual.
Right.
So for the heterosexual community in furries are the minority.
What would your guess be if there was a person that I knew who left the Weenie Roast and went back to the hotel before a lot of the good bands, and then had an adjoining room, and the door opened and some furries came into his room? what would you say about that guy?
Well, I would say there would be nothing suspicious about it, unless, of course, that person had a certain attraction and affection for animals anyway. You know, if that person was particularly focused and fixated on animals of all kinds, then I would say then maybe in that particular case there might have been some sexual interaction between that person and the furries.
There was a connecting room, man.
and they went into Bean's room.
That wasn't all that was not, connecting, by the way.
That's not what happened.
Not just the rooms.
Look, here's what happened is I watched the Weenie Roast on the webcast, like I do, because that's the best way to see it. No people, no 100 degrees, right? So I'm enjoying it. And then at some point, the thing's over, and I go to sleep. Well, at like 2 o'clock in the morning at our hotel, which happened to be the same place where the Califer convention was going on, I guess the bar closed in the lobby, and the party moved upstairs to the room next to mine. And I'm telling you, it was the loudest party I've ever heard in my life. And at some point, Ralph, you know how some hotel rooms have those adjoining doors? You got a door on each side with a lock,
uh-huh,
right?
Sure.
Well, I guess my door wasn't locked.
Oh, so yeah, I always leave mine open too when I'm around strangers. I like people just to be able to wander in.
I'm not kidding, Bean. 100% of the time, those doors are locked.
Yes.
I locked them. You have to unlock it to have it unlocked.
Okay. Let me just say this. I didn't unlock it, but because they're locked 100% of the time, it didn't even occur to me to go over and check it. I just assumed it was locked because why wouldn't it be?
You heard the furries next door and you said, maybe if I leave this unlocked, I'm going to get a little furry action.
Clip. So I'm laying in bed. I'm laying in bed with me and Sock Monkey. We're laying in bed and all of a sudden, you know, it's dark in my room. All of a sudden, the door opens and the shaft of light comes out.
Don't say it. That was not
Don't say it.
Not light.
Okay. And I said, so I bolts up in the bed. I go, hey, close that door.
Oh, yeah,
and the person pulled the door closed and I jumped up and locked it. But that was super freaky because
as soon as we're done having sex, you close that door.
It could have gone the other way. There could have been 40 furries in my room in a minute if I hadn't spoken up. So it was very creepy.
Instead of just one.
All right, let's take one call before the break.
The one dressed as a pig, he called ham sandwich all night long.
It's going to be Elian. I hope I'm saying Elian right on line 3. He was at the furry convention this weekend.
All right.
He can talk to us about it. Elian, hi. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show, my friend. How are you?
Congratulations. Most people want to say it Elian.
How do you say it right?
Well, I think as a furry, you would like to be called Elian because it's one step closer to being a lion.
Tiger.
All right.
Actually.
Tiger.
All right, Freak Show, you're on the air. What's the deal?
Good morning.
Thank you, Lisa. Anyways, yeah, it was.
You're one of the gay furries, right?
Bye.
Bye. Okay.
Oh, you were there. 50%.
Were you there this weekend?
Yeah.
Okay.
And it was actually kind of interesting. I saw the K-Rock bands in the parking lot, and I went, oh, crap, this is going to end up on Kevin and Bean.
Well, how could it not? I mean, you have to.
It's fascinating.
You have to be used to being a spectacle. If you go to furry conventions, everyone else in the hotel, wherever you go, has to go, what's happening?
Want to take pictures,
yes.
Right?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people are curious. Like, I got into a really interesting discussion with a guy wearing a Lamb of God t-shirt. That's not a sentence I'm used to saying. And
sure.
We had an interesting discussion about just, you know, yeah, it's a spectacle. Yeah, you know, you wear the costumes, and you go out, and you interact, and the costumes are really expensive, so not a lot of people actually have them.
Mm-hmm.
But wait, you don't rent them, do you?
No.
That's gross.
No, right. you want to own your costume, I think. What were you, Ellie, and what character were you over the weekend?
I was not actually in a costume. I have gloves and a tail, just because, like I said, low budget. And
that is really, really half-hearted.
I'm sorry, would you like to pay for my costume?
I know, but I'm just saying.
What kind of events were going on at the convention this weekend? Because I understand there were 500 people there for the convention, and it seemed like you had a bunch of those meeting rooms booked up, and was there a dance and speakers, and what sort of things were happening?
There was a dance, which had two DJs. There were a bunch of panels, like Christian furs, military furs, different artists getting together. There was a dealer's den, which is basically people selling different arts, different books, stuff like that. There was an auction, so...
Tell me about the Christian furs. Those
sorry.
Two words don't seem to go together.
They're mostly lambs.
Yeah, it was... I'm not actually that involved with that organization, though I did attend the military furs panel, and, you know, as the stereotype goes, a lot of it did talk about don't ask, don't tell, and sort of issues being furry while also being in military, and a lot of people are just like, I got some occasional ribbing from my fellow Marines or fellow sailors, but
that's not something you want to tell the Marines.
No, I don't think so.
It's a good way to get out of the Marines, though.
I had a discussion with someone about this. How much does this spill into your regular life in terms of your job and all that kind of stuff? Do most people know? Do you bring your fur out?
First off, bringing your fur out is something you do, Lisa, if you stop shaving after a while.
But ooh, see?
Everybody's got jokes today.
Lisa is so disgusted with you right now.
Do you have a job, and do they know about it at
right.
your work?
Right now, I just work at Ralph, and no, I don't really know about it.
Yeah.
It's a part of my personality. I can basically flick on and flick off. It's just, You know, it's just like being a Trekkie or being, you know, into rock music. It's just something you can be into, and then something you can be like, okay, well, I'm not at a concert, so I won't wear the Lamb of God t-shirt. You just put on a normal
suit. Okay, gotcha. It's hard to scan canned goods wearing tiger mitts, too, I think, probably over there at Ralph's.
Elliot, I'm glad you called. Thank you very much. And now we're going to ask you to flick off, okay?
Okay.
Wow. All
right. Bye-bye.
1-800-520-1067. We have a few more people who were there on Saturday. We want to know what the deal is with this furry thing and which one of them had sex with Bean. So we'll take those calls when we get back.
And now it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
Slash is in the studio, and we're going to come back and play some, give you a taste of his CD in a second, and we'll continue on the Kevin and Bean Show. What just happened?
That was A Moment with Kevin.
Looking thin.
We have too many moments with Kevin.
At least he recognized who the guest was that time. You're a guy who, I don't know who you are.
I don't know who you are. It's the world famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ at 8:42.
Part of our post-Weenie Roast recap has nothing to do with the concert. It has to do with what was going on at the hotel back where we all were staying on Saturday down in Irvine. There was a furry convention going on. Hundreds of furry people down there. Ralph, you made it to the hotel. You were at the hotel, right?
Yes, I was.
So you saw this with your own eyes. Every time you went in, no matter day or night, the lobby was just packed with people in tiger suits.
Yeah. I'm starting to think maybe I've lived too much of a life when I really wasn't thrown over the
really?
Yeah.
He's
like, the furry's here. Oh, I guess there must be some furry event here at the hotel. And I just went to my room, and everybody's like, people in costumes!
Like, you could go to
too many
Kevin
weird
and Bean
nights in my life because I wasn't bothered by it.
That wasn't even the top 100 of the weirdest things you've seen.
Exactly.
You can go to KevinandBean.com and see a photo gallery of a bunch of the furries that were at our hotel. One of them's on the phone, by the way, on line four. I guess he was a fox. His picture is showing on our website right now, and he joins us on the Kevin and Bean show.
You go to the gallery, he's the fifth picture in there, and he's Whiskey Foxtrot.
Roger Tango over Victor Vector.
Hey, Whiskey.
Hi, I'm right here. How's the guys going?
It's going good. How was your time at the Califer, the furry convention, Saturday, I guess all weekend long?
I really had a great time out there, and it was really great that you guys showed up and, kind of entertained us. And I was inside the lobby at the bar, and you guys were just great. I was having a great time.
Now, did you go up to the 17th floor at 2 a.m. when the bar closed and try to barge into my hotel room? Was that you?
No, that wasn't me, but that sounds like a great time.
Yeah, it was for somebody.
Beating a little tail, you know what I mean?
So what kind of a furry are you? A few minutes ago, Ralph was kind of laying out the different kinds. I mean, are you someone who has sex in the costume with somebody else who's also in costume? Is that your turn-on?
No, I'm just a regular fursuiter, and I just do it for the fun of it, just to get out there and hang out with people. And it's just a really positive experience for everyone.
So it's not a sexual thing for you?
No, not at all.
Let me ask you this, then.
It's not for all furries. It's...
What percentage would you say has nothing to do with sex of that group?
It's actually a pretty high percentage.
Really?
First off, the suits, they're about an inch thick. So if you think about it, you're kind of losing a lot. And they're also, like, wearing a snowsuit. And I'm not sure if you guys try that in a snowsuit before, but it's probably not very comfortable.
We have, but not really indoors in a hotel at a dance.
And if you can't get past the one-inch mark, you got bigger issues than just the fact you like to dress up as a fox.
Okay, so let me ask you this.
Maybe there's a lot of people who like to be sexual first, but can't. Maybe that's why.
Right, so exactly.
Can't roll number. Yeah.
I'm fascinated that it's not a sex thing for you. So you go to all the time and trouble to register for this convention, to put on the outfit, and to go down and to hang out. And tell me what you mean when you say it was a positive experience. What do you get out of that?
Well, people who are maybe introverted, you don't get out much. They don't really like to talk to people. They put on a fursuit, and apparently you go out there, and you're just life at the party. Everybody wants to hang out with you. They want to talk to you.
I can see that.
It works around the opposite way, too. People who just aren't really talkative, they'll see a fursuiter or someone in a fursuit, and they'll go up and hug them, and they'll talk to them, and it's just great.
Interesting.
Or they want to trank you and tag you and release you back into the wild.
Possibly, that's true.
For a lot of people, it's like, you know, the Star Trek conventions, Star Wars conventions, or the Comic-Con when people dress up as superheroes.
Right.
It's a similar kind of phenomenon.
But I thought it was way more of a sexual turn-on thing. I thought, like, all of the suits had zippers.
No.
In the front.
No.
Or back.
At all.
Okay. Very interesting. I'm glad you called, Foxy. Thank you very much. Let's try Elizabeth on line two. She's one of the few furry females that was there on the weekend. I think. Were you there, Elizabeth, or am I wrong about that?
No. I go to, actually, you're talking about cons. There's actually this whole furry group that goes to the conventions that I go to of anime genres.
Okay.
And I kind of hang out with them, and I wear cat ears, and I wear a tail and all that stuff, and, you know, kind of do that type of thing.
Now, is that a sexual thing, or is it asexual?
Kind of for them, yeah. It's more sexual for them because, you know, a lot of the anime cute chicks and stuff in anime have cat ears and stuff these days. And
right.
So, yeah, it's kind of sexual.
Anime, it's the Japanese animation style where there's a lot of this where you find anthropomorphic animals who have human characteristics. So.
What percentage of that group is girls?
Actually, at these cons, there's a lot of girls who wear cat ears and tails and furry gloves and all that stuff. It's kind of hot, though. I mean, I love getting with another girl and, like, wearing cat ears and, like, kind of playing with each other.
Yeah.
All right. Okay, now we're talking. Now things are looking up.
You guys get a ball of yarn together and knock it around?
Yeah.
Look, share a saucer of milk.
I got to tell you, Elizabeth, these guys that I saw at the hotel this weekend, and I hate to paint with too broad a brush, but they didn't seem like the guys who were probably doing very well with the ladies at all, and maybe I thought that's why they went to fur. You must be unbelievably popular as a female furry.
Kind of, yeah. And I mean, like, actually, there's guys and stuff who go to these anime cons. One especially dresses as this whole fetish thing called pedo bear, which is a bear that, like, goes after little girls, basically.
Ew.
Good times. And he gets so much attention from the girls, it's ridiculous.
And from the sexy music, too, I'm sure.
Sexy music goes away now.
Yes, it certainly does.
What's wrong with pedo bear, Kevin?
Paige and Chris Hansen. So, Elizabeth, you missed a hell of a time then at the furry convention this weekend. Too bad you weren't there.
Done it.
Yeah. Mm. We'll see you next time.
Okay. Thanks for calling. So,
we have two more people who are at the hotel this weekend.
Okay. We're out of time, unfortunately.
Right.
But, so, good times, right?
You tell us. You're the only one that went in the room.
My double door from out front open.
My adjoining door was
goodness.
Open. What a surprise.
There's a tiger in my pajamas. How he got there, I'll never know.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and it's 8:55.
Fox Sports Radio personality Matt Money Smith from the Petros and Money Show joins us in studio here on the Kevin O'Neill Show. He's actually here to talk basketball and hockey. He's here to talk sports next hour, but he came in a little early, so he's going to sit in with us. Ralph joins us now for the Showbiz Beat on a Monday. What's going on, Ralph?
Because it's Monday, we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office over the weekend. Shrek Forever After continues its stranglehold on the pack. $25.3 million made it number one again this week. Get Into the Greek was second. The new film starring Jonah Hill and Russell Brand made $17.4 million. The Killers came in number three.
Nope.
Its debut.
No, it didn't.
Yes, it did.
That's just not possible.
Ashton Kutcher and Katherine Heigl celebrate.
No.
Number three on the list, Prince of Persia, The Sands of Time, featuring a swole Jake Gyllenhaal, pulled in $13.9 million. Sex in the City 2 was
Yeah! Free.
Sorry?
What?
Marmaduke came in at number six. Iron Man 2 was 7, then Splice, Robin Hood, and Letters to Juliet, rounding out your top 10 at the box office this weekend. Anna Paquin talked over the weekend about why she came out as a bisexual recently.
Because she's awesome.
Well, she is awesome. She came out to do a PSA for something called the Give a Damn campaign, which is a project that's funded by the True Colors Fund. This is a charity started by Cyndi Lauper to prevent against hate crimes against gays and lesbians and bisexuals and transgender. Then she did.
That's a terrible idea.
It's a good idea. You don't want to crime against those people. She did a PSA where she announced that she was bisexual and that she thinks crimes against people because of their sexual preferences is a bad thing, as we all do.
How's Taco Bell gonna make money off of
not
that?
Not about Taco Bell. It has nothing to do with that, Charles. She said, I'm not someone who talks endlessly about my personal life, so people wouldn't know, but I am someone who identifies as bisexual, and these are issues that I really care about. And she said it wasn't a big secret, but it was something she always dealt with in her private life and never really made public. And she is engaged to her True Blood co-star, Stephen Moyer. And he said, yes!
When he found out.
So apparently it's all good in the hood.
If there's one thing I've learned from doing the show with Lisa May all these years, is that all women are bisexual. It's not that much of a surprise.
I don't think that's true.
Some women have to go into it kicking and screaming. I don't know.
I don't want a motorboat, Miss Cleo. Shut up! You will do it!
True Blood is coming back, by the way. That's a great show.
It is coming.
Great show.
She like shows
week,
her boobies in.
Like a week.
Yes, I've seen
the ads all over the place that rehydrate. And it's got blood dripping all over there.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking, technically, it should be resanguinate because it's really blood. It's not water, really.
Astute observation, Ralph.
Someone got HBO on the phone. Someone got HBO on the phone. We got to make a correction.
Why is that not a thanks for that info bean? That's what I want to know.
I can't stand to see my bus stop signs not proper,
because
really.
I brought it up in conversation that we were having, and then Ralph continued.
That's how it works sometimes when you say something and then someone responds to what you're saying versus what Bean likes to do, which is have conversations in his own head
himself,
and then give us a little snippet of it once in a while. Rush Limbaugh got married on Saturday. Catherine Rogers is her name. He is 59. She's 33. This is his fourth marriage, her first. They got married in Palm Beach, Florida. Elton John performed at the ceremony. I still find that hard to believe, but they paid him $1 million, so I guess you'll do anything for $1 million.
I get why Elton does it. It's $1 million paycheck for the evening. I can't imagine that Rush knowingly and voluntarily wants to hang out with a gay dude.
My friends, hold me closer, tiny dancer.
Can you imagine?
I guess that's why they call it the blues.
Can you imagine what it must be like to be married to Rush Limbaugh?
God, no. I don't even want to think about it.
He would never shut up. She's in her 30s.
Yeah.
I don't even get the attraction except for the money he's got.
And, you know, Vicodin or whatever.
By the way, his new wife is a direct descendant of President John Adams, and Rush worked on his campaign.
Is that right?
So there's the connection. Take a look at today's celebrity birthday, shall we? Tom Jones, legendary singer and...
Tiny penis.
No.
Oh.
Exact. Au contraire, mon frère.
Oh.
The exact opposite. He's known for being quite the logsmith. He is 70 years old today. Liam Neeson is 58 years old today. Not coincidentally, but also supposed to be packing.
I can imagine.
Liam's supposed to be packing. He's 58. Prince.
Not packing.
That's when the list stops, I guess. He's 52 years old today. Gordon Gano of Violent Femmes. Also famous for saying, greed works. Remember that in the movie?
No, I think that was Gordon.
No,
yeah.
Well,
actually,
different. 47 years old.
Why can't I get just one?
Eric Kretz of Stone Temple Pilots.
Yeah, Eric.
Also played that kid in Mask. Remember when he had the disformed face in Mask?
No, that was Eric Stoltz, actually.
Confused again, Ralph.
44 years old today. Dave Navarro is 43 years old today. Of course, Navarro, of course, a tribe of Indians, too, which is widespread throughout
Navajo.
The
actually,
very different.
United States for many years, until the bison went away, and then they stopped being as popular.
We have to put this entire break in the file.
Bill Hader, 32, and Michael Cera celebrates his 22nd.
Bill Hader from Rock Around the Clock? I love that song.
Now we have
to put it in the fire. I can't play. Oh, everyone can play but me.
Well,
what's going on here?
Well, you don't say a guy that isn't really just sort of close and from 1951.
All of the others were close. Yours was miles
Bill
apart.
Hader, put Bill Haley. File. That's pretty close.
Put come on. File.
Come on. No one's got my back.
Boo.
You're making me sad.
Boo.
Boo! That'd be a hater.
Ralph Garman,
probably the low point of Matt Smith's career was when he was the sports guy on the Kevin and Bean Show, but he's since moved on to greatness as part of the PMS, Petrus and Money radio show on Fox Sports, and he joins us here on the Kevin and Bean Show now. How are you, Money?
High point, man. It's been all downhill from there.
Well, you're very kind to say that. So this is golden times for a guy like you who's hosting a sports radio show. No shortage of things to talk about.
No,
right now.
You know, the Stanley Cup Finals, the NBA Finals, and quietly here in Los Angeles, both baseball teams have caught fire. You have the World Cup that's starting on Friday, and then the U.S. England midday Saturday. Really is, you know, too much. Too much. Back when I worked in the music business, you know, sometimes an artist would turn in a CD and you'd say, too many good songs.
I don't know what to pick.
Too many. Yeah. You know, you cut them in half, save the rest for another CD because we're not going to get to them all. Right now, too much. Because think about June 25th and what happens after, or let's just say July 4th after the World Cup is over.
Right.
You got baseball there.
That's it.
Baseball, and then after baseball, you got Baseball.
Baseball,
and
right.
And then there's some baseball as well.
Right, but you,
until about
least,
August.
At least this time we have the World Cup, which not yes. everyone cares about. I love.
You get that extra 4 weeks
right.
following the NBA and the NHL. It's a great time, though, and there's a lot that people need to digest. And you know, like I said, with the baseball, no one's paying attention to the Dodgers or the Angels. Their season doesn't start until the Lakers ends. And they're playing some damn good ball right now.
Now, let's talk about...
the Lakers?
The Lakers and...
I can't even listen to the Red Hot Chili Peppers if the Lakers lose. It depresses me because those guys are such big fans.
Let's talk about them being on at the same time as the NHL playoffs.
Yeah.
How does that happen?
Well, I think the NHL doesn't give a crap like the NBA does because they just play every other day like they do in the regular season. They want their postseason to be equally representative of what the teams went through in the regular season.
Do they want anyone to watch?
Well, I mean, they can't control what the NBA is going to do. Think about it. You think the NHL knew that David Stern was going to have the freaking teams take 5 days off between
yeah,
the end
about
of the conference
that?
Finals?
They've done
it's
the last
ludicrous.
Couple of years.
Yeah.
What? Ludicrous is?
No, he was on the MTV Movie Awards last night.
Actually.
He was on that. No, but they took an extra day off before Game 2 last night. They should have played Game 2 on Saturday, right?
Yes.
That's Thursday and Saturday is what they should have
played. Thursday, Sunday, Tuesday, Thursday, Sunday, Tuesday, Thursday is the entire 7 games.
Right.
And that's kind of the way they've always done it. I don't know why they prefer Sunday to Saturday. You'd assume it's kind of the same thing.
TV ratings,
maybe
I
more people at home Sunday night.
But a guy
Saturday
like Kevin, who's watching the Stanley Cup, missed last night's game because he didn't know it was on.
I didn't even realize it was on. I just figured because they had been staggering it was every other night.
Yeah. So you missed the NBA Finals?
No, I watched the Lakers.
I sent a tweet out that right about second quarter that said, am I the only guy in Southern California that's actually flipping, not watching the Stanley Cup Finals, I TiVo'd it and went back and watched it, but is actually flipping just to check in during the commercials, not overly concerned that I might miss 10 or 12 seconds of NBA action. I have to believe that most people that like the Lakers or Celtics wouldn't even leave the commercials
no.
on the off chance
of
that
course.
They might miss 1 second instead of watching a game freaking 5 of the Stanley Cup Finals.
Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah,
it was bad timing. All right, we have to ask money.
Yes.
A lot of people really upset with the officiating this time around. Of course, it's always a controversy. But as Kevin pointed out earlier, the officiating, it seems to have been bad toward both teams. What's your take on how tight the refs are calling this finals?
Yeah, that was my qualifier for game one and what it meant. I said, you know, it's tough. Look, the bigs look great. And if they can continue to do that, the Lakers are in great shape, which they continue to do last night.
Right.
And that's a big bonus for the Lakers, I think, going forward. I said, but it's hard to figure out because Ray Allen always plays so well at Staples Center, and he was rendered ineffective by the officials the way that game one was called. So what happened to Ray Allen is what happened to Kobe in game two. And for some reason, you know, they call it tight when they know these games are going to be physical.
But it's the finals.
It's a good question.
It's the finals. The
most egregious officiating error, and this is just beyond, I can't quite figure out how it happened. Inside of 2 minutes, you can review a call if you feel like maybe you got it wrong.
The refs make that
possession
call. Right.
You know, the referees can decide to do that. So with a minute 59 and the Celtics up 3, and apparently it looked like Pau Gasol had a rebound, but Kevin Garnett knocked it out of bounds. The official ruled that it went off Pau Gasol.
Right.
You know, so possession Celtics already up 3. They discussed for about a minute.
And while they were doing it, they were showing different views of it on the screen, and it was clearly Garnett.
And they decided not to go to the video replay.
No, I thought they did.
No, they did not go to the video replay. They just decided to have a discussion between themselves, and they said, yeah, it's fine with us.
I don't know. What do you think?
We don't need that video. Yeah, but, you know, we put that rule in so this wouldn't happen, and they decided to pass that over. That, to me, was the worst.
That was the worst, but I hate it when refs become this big a part of the game. I don't like the Celtics, but there were a lot of calls where I would go, that's not a foul on Kevin Garnett or whoever. That's not a foul. It just drives me crazy when you got 6 guys with 5 fouls. You go,
someone
that happen?
Someone threw out that at one point the foul, you know, the foul call was 37 free throws for the Lakers to 15 for the Celtics. Clearly, it's a conspiracy. They want the Lakers to win the 2 home games so they don't get knocked out in Boston. And I wrote back, where does the Kobe has 5 fouls at the start of the fourth quarter account in that conspiracy theory?
They were bad both games for both teams.
I think what happened, you know, when in talking to the players, what they always told me is it's not how they call the game that bothers them. it's when they call it inconsistently. If they can bump each other in the first quarter, and then all of a sudden in the second quarter, they pick up three fouls real quick by playing the exact same way, that drives them nuts. And I think that's what happened last night. It started out, the game was kind of physical. People were pushing each other around a little bit, and they let it go. And a lot of people, even the announcers, said, oh, it looks like they're going to kind of let this one be
a
little bit more loose.
Which they should, and they always do.
And then all of a sudden in the second quarter, all these whistles came. And I think that's what becomes more frustrating than anything else for these players.
Do you think that Lakers and Celtics are the two best teams in the NBA? Or let me put it another way, the two best teams to represent their respective conferences?
Right now, yeah. I think the way, you know, the Celtics going in to the postseason, you know, they were a four seed. They were hurt. Rasheed Wallace was disinterested.
A lot of old talk.
Yeah, Rajon Rondo hadn't quite realized his potential through the regular season. He had moments, but not like he did in the postseason. So I think the way they played in the postseason, the Celtics were the best, and it wasn't even close in terms of the West, whether or not the Lakers were
right.
the top team. So, yeah, I think we are seeing the league's best, and that leads me to think, regardless of what the officials are going to do, it's going to be a six or likely a seven-game series, and all these games are going to be close.
I agree. I just hate to see the refs be that big a part of it. Step back, make a call when you have to. But don't insert yourself into the game. Both teams, I think, should be.
Yeah, or just, you know, call it one way from tip until finish.
I can see
that. And
that
way, players will adjust.
Right.
If they see ticky-tacks are going to get called, they'll back off.
I can see
and you'll
that,
have
but
a more
it's the finals.
Game.
Don't they have a conversation, let's not call ticky-tack fouls. That's what they call barely touched them. There's really nothing happened.
There was one that Kobe got whistled for, that offensive foul, that had no business being
crazy.
A foul. And even worse than that was the game one call on Ray Allen when he just barely nicked Kobe's elbow there when he was in the middle of the lane for, I think, what was his fourth foul at the start of the third quarter. And you see what kind of impact that guy can have on a game.
And you go, wow, this is bad officiating on both sides.
You know, Jeff Van Gundy, who I think does a great job on the color, he's the only good thing they have going for him on that ABC broadcast, because you really do miss TNT. TNT is so good that when it goes away, you realize how miserable you are in terms of the broadcast. But Van Gundy said, as a coach, why don't you just figure out a better way to punish players for committing fouls than kicking them out of the game? It's the only sport that does that. You know, you can have countless pass interference penalties or holding penalties in the NFL, and you don't get thrown out of the game. Same goes for baseball. You just keep piling up the errors or whatever it might be. You don't get thrown out of the game. Why? In hockey, you go to a penalty box, but you can't just be ejected from the game.
It has to be something extreme. But
why wouldn't you just, you know, award two free throws and possession if you get over a certain number, or, you know, three free throws and possession if you get over a certain number, instead of throwing them out of the game?
But they'll never change that, will they?
Because he says, you know, the second you get that third foul, that fourth foul, you change the way you play, that you're playing, and that affects the game because of, you know, what might have been a bad foul call.
All right, 1-1. How's the series going to go? Is it going to go seven?
Well, I mean, I don't think the Lakers are going to lose three in Boston. That said, I think it's going to be damn tough to win two of three in Boston. Yeah. So likely what you're probably looking at is the Lakers coming back, probably down 3-2, having to win two in a row in game six and seven, something I think they can do. This was the first game they lost on their home court, I think, going back some 12 games to last year's postseason when you talk about playoff games at Staples Center.
Is being a communist because he likes Ray Allen and all the shots he made?
Well, Seattle, you know, Allen was you know,
communist or not? Communist or not?
Maybe socialist, Marxist, socialist, perhaps.
A super nice dude, too, by the way.
You know what? You want to hear a great Ray Allen story, or do we have time, or do you want me to tease it over here?
We need to take a break.
All right. Great Ray Allen story when we come back. Involving Vegas and topless women.
All right.
How you like that?
All right. That's a good tease. We'll be right back.
Ralph will be along with the Showbiz Beat here in just a couple minutes on a Monday. Our friend Matt Money Smith is in studio with us, of course, from the Petros and Money nationally syndicated program on Fox Sports Radio. Ray Allen last night in the NBA Finals Game 2 set an NBA Finals record with 8 3-pointers, 7 in a row at one point, right?
Yep. In the first half, 27
in the
points
first
by
half.
Halftime.
Wow.
Yeah.
How does...
understated, quiet, nice guy, right? Nice guy,
right.
Ray Allen.
Yep. Yeah.
So I'm at the booby pool there in Vegas at the Mirage. And, you know.
Wait a minute. Is that the topless one?
Yeah, the topless one. Right. So we got this half, and the Celtics had just won the NBA Finals in 2008, and a lot of them were there partying, and Ray Allen was leading a contingency on the other half of the VIP section of the naked pool at the Mirage. He's there all day. And that's because I was there all day. That he was there
How do you know
all
that?
Day.
Right.
I'm talking 8 hours. And, you know, just rounds of drinks and different women coming through and the whole deal.
Right.
And as we're getting ready to leave, his group had just left, and the server, our lead server, comes over, and she is just freaking steaming mad, right? We gave her, I would imagine the group, we probably gave her $500, maybe $750 as a tip, because all the drinks are complimentary, right. All the food is complimentary, and in that section. She said, do you realize he didn't give me 1 cent?
What?
Not a single cent of a tip for 8 hours of service.
Hitting me.
And just...
that's the guy you love.
That's good guy, Ray Allen.
You love
So all of you in the service industry out there, Ray Allen is your enemy.
No kidding. Wow. That's embarrassing.
I would say so.
8 hours.
Yes, flapping their boobs around for you. Not only great service and free beer.
Wow. Yeah, right. Yeah. In our remaining moments, Matt, I know we spoke with you last week about how you had at one point turned your back on your beloved hometown Chicago Blackhawks, but now they got new owners, and now you're back on board. Now you're a Hawks fan
again. Yeah, I mean, I think it's not quite the emotional attachment I have with some of the other Chicago teams, which totally bums me out because the rest of the Chicago teams really suck.
Yeah, well,
yeah, what's the sense of being a Bears fan, right?
Exactly. I can't quite cash in, but, you know, it's exciting for the city. I mean, my family's losing their minds. They have photos and texts and all that stuff all the time. And, of course, the Blackhawks are probably going to win their first Stanley Cup in 50 years, and it's going to be on Versus, and no one will see it. The NBA Finals are going on between the Lakers and Celtics and the World Cup with the U.S. and England, it will barely register on the sports radar.
The Stanley Cup playoffs were on NBC when they were on last weekend, the weekend, not this
yes.
week. But then they put it on Versus, which is the bull riding channel. I mean, it really is bull riding.
The Ted Nugent kills wild game channel.
Yeah. And then there's fishing shows, and then occasionally there's a really important hockey game. It doesn't make any sense.
Sure does.
Is there any kind of encouragement you give a long-suffering Flyers fan like our man Ralph Garman about a team that comes out last night and plays maybe the worst period they played all season long, and they save that for the Stanley Cup? What do you do? How do you come back from that?
I mean, down 3-0 to the Bruins, and then down 3-0 in game 7 to the Bruins after coming back from being down 3-0. I mean, that's definitely not a team you ever count out. You know, I mean, if you can manage to come back from those sort of odds, being one of 3 teams to ever do it in the history of the NHL, by no means do you count them out just because they're down 3-2 with a, you know, potential game 7. So the sad part is it's really a great postseason. To me, nothing compares to the NHL, but, you know, I guess people speak their minds in terms of allegiance to certain sports with the ratings, and they're just not there. So, you know, you deal with Lakers Celtics, which is great. You cannot complain about that. Sure. As the NBA Finals could have been the Suns Magic. And, of course, the World Cup to probably take even more attention away from the Stanley Cup Finals, which is just the way things are going to be.
Last question for you. Did you ever meet Coach Wooden?
I did. I've met him on a couple occasions. I interviewed him, I'd say 5 to 6 times probably.
Really?
And it really is one of those, the first time I met him, I was terrified. I worked for a guy at DreamWorks, Mo Austin, who's very involved in UCLA, gives a lot of money back, owns courtside seats to the Bruins games. So that was a nice introduction to meet him in person. But anytime they would have the Wooden tournament down at the pond in Anaheim, he would always come on. And every single time he came on, despite being the most gracious and benevolent interview you could ever have, I was nervous. You just feel like someone that has lived such a life and accomplished so much. And everyone you talk to says, as great a coach as he was an even better person and made me a better person. You just want to please them. You feel like they might be judging you, and you want to come out on the right side of their judgment.
Tell people the statistics of his career, because I knew he was a great coach.
Win streak.
I knew he was a great coach, but I didn't understand like the number of years they won championships and stuff.
Yeah, 10 national championships. I mean,
in how many years?
It really is in 11 years.
10 championships in 11 years.
And an 88 game win streak that they'll just never be. No one will ever realize that, obviously, especially with, you know, all the one and dones now. But I think, you know, some of my favorite things about Wooden are, you know, read the book Essential Wooden. That's probably the best. He's got about 30 of them, but his quotes are so simple. And they make so much sense. I mean, I think that's what really kind of will carry on, you know, the Wooden legacy that'll carry on. As everyone says, he really did, you know, practice what he preached. It wasn't do as I say, but do as I do. And their quotes essentially like, you know, it's not about all that you've accomplished that you measure success by, but all that you could have accomplished. You know, character.
Oh, way to bum me out.
Exactly. You know, character is more important than reputation. Reputation is what others think of you. Character is what you're really made of. Things like that. And the man just had hundreds of them and lived by, you know, what those quotes meant to him.
Well, when you see guys like last night on the NBA show, when you see Kareem come out, you see Walton come out and say, the guy changed my life. I mean, I couldn't wait to get in front of him every day and learn something because everything he said was like, it was like getting a tablet handed to you by Moses.
Yeah.
You know? The respect is amazing for this dude. And it's hard to complain about a guy who lives to be in pretty good health till, you know, the last couple of years or so. The dude was 99 years old.
I fast forwarded through that.
So you did.
Yeah. You did. Oh, it was such a nice tribute.
Bill Walton.
I wanted to get to the second.
Is he too old for you?
I wanted to get the second half.
You want to? I mean, just a stupid statistic. You want to hear the best Kareem Abdul-Jabbar statistic? So
sure.
Kareem wins three straight national championships in high school. New York City high school city championships. Right.
Okay.
I think he lost two games as a high school player. Comes to UCLA, wins three national championships in the tournament. Three most outstanding player awards. And most people say, "Well, wait a minute. He stayed 4 years. Why did he only win three?" Well, freshmen couldn't play on the varsity team when he was a freshman. His freshman team that he led when he got to UCLA played the varsity team that was the number one ranked defending national champions.
And beat them?
75-60. First game ever played at Pauley Pavilion with Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Wow.
Yeah, isn't that great?
That's rough.
Unbelievable. Well, it's always great to catch up with you, Matt. Thanks for coming in, dude.
Anytime, guys.
Love we it. Appreciate it.
Money and P on Fox Sports, 5:70 a.m. Sometime in the afternoon.
There we go. 3 o'clock,
yeah. Pay attention.
Why do you hate, Ralph? Why is there so much hate?
How can Tom Cruise do so many things at his age? His advanced age.
I'm just saying the fact
not
that
in a walker.
The dude's 47. He never danced that I know of in his life, and he's out there matching J-Lo, who's a professional dancer, side by side of the MTV Movie Awards.
Clearly,
I'm just saying it was an impressive performance.
Clearly, you didn't see Cocktail because he had the moves in that.
You ever see a little film called Risky Business?
Yeah, how about that?
One of the most famous dance sequences ever.
Not the same though as being out on a big stage and doing. Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat on a Monday on the Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on?
Top 10 movies at the box office this week, and Shrek Forever After. Oh, Shrek, we're going to miss you, you big green Scottish bastard.
They're really not going to do another one?
That's what they say.
I like fart jokes.
This is the end.
For all this money.
Oh, donkey, we've made a lot of money. Maybe we'll do another film. I don't know, Shrek.
That's the conversation they're having right now.
That's pretty good.
Thank you. Get Him to the Greek was number 2 at the box office this weekend. Killers, Prince of Persia, Sex in the City, that's the top 5. Then Marmaduke, Iron Man 2, Splice, Robin Hood, and Letters to Juliet. By the way, Splice, I did not get a chance to see it this weekend. I've heard great things about it, but I did not know, thanks to one of the listeners for cluing me in, there are not one but two human slash hybrid sex scenes in it.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Apparently this funked up creature that they put together is also having sex with people.
Kind of like a furries for 2010.
Exactly.
Huh?
Only more of a slimies. She comes out all like with a scorpion tail and wings and whatnot.
Yeah. Nope.
Got that spread apart wide eye.
Nope. I am out of there.
Ellen
Barkin.
Barkin look.
Yeah.
She's got that going on.
Siesta. So. She gets naked in that one.
So you can check that out.
In case you were wondering.
I am.
Thank you, Mr. Skin.
Welcome. I am, and I do.
Rush Limbaugh got married on Saturday to a woman named Catherine Rogers. Her friends know her as Dumbass. She is 33 years old. He is 59 years old. His fourth marriage, her first, happened in Palm Beach, Florida. All bad things happen in Florida. We know that. Elton John performed the ceremony for $1 million.
Hmm.
Wow.
Apparently, they're currently, by the way, shopping around a script in Hollywood that is the Rush Limbaugh story.
Okay.
They say it is Citizen Kane meets Private Parts. That's how they're describing the script. It's based on an unauthorized biography of Rush.
Because he's kind of a fat version of Howard Stern.
Exactly. Showing how he rose up in the ranks to radio supremacy.
And
it's a fascinating.
A lot of OxyContin, too.
Yeah, he did. A lot of that. It's a fascinating real-life story. Obviously, he has dominated his field. I don't know how interesting a movie it makes, though.
My friends!
Who would play Rush? Who would you cast?
Ed Asner.
Well, Paul.
That's a great poll.
I tell you who would be great, although he was in the Howard Stern movie, so maybe he wouldn't do it, is Paul Giamatti.
Right.
Yeah. Paul Giamatti would be a great Rush Limbaugh.
Oh, not fat enough.
Yeah, he's got to get fatter.
But he's a great enough actor that he could pull it off.
No, we need like
what about the dude that played the fat kid in Teen Wolf? You know?
Yeah.
Shoot it, fat boy!
Let's get the fat kid from Teen Wolf.
That would be a surprise.
Is that the same fat kid from Pee Wee's Big Adventure?
Yes.
Yeah, same guy.
Same
right?
guy.
Yeah,
and also played Bean, like you'll love this, John Wayne Gacy in the Gacy.
That's right.
Oh, did he?
Yes.
Oh,
I'm same in. Fat guy.
All right.
We got him. Get
his agent on the phone.
Good work.
Get the fat guy from Teen Wolf.
Might be busy right now.
Might be. Tila Tequila.
Hey!
Is a lunatic and a deceitful whore.
Wow.
I don't know
well,
if you saw
news.
The video on her new official website, but she claims Friday night one of her multiple personalities made a suicide attempt on her.
That's real talk right there, man.
What?
I don't know what happened, Tila says. People don't believe I have multiple personalities, but this morning the last thing I remember was falling asleep because I was so tired. I blacked out, and now I just woke up from excruciating pains all over my body. There was blood and dope everywhere. She is evil. She single-handedly smashed and broke everything in my bedroom.
Every day, that woman wakes up and goes, what can I make up today that will get me press?
Yeah.
Oh, I'll pretend that I'm pregnant. Oh, I'll pretend that I'm going to commit suicide. Oh, I'll pretend that I'm on drugs. I mean,
she
crazy.
She didn't try to commit suicide, Bean. One of her multiple personalities did.
Okay. She's lying.
Yes, she is. There are even chunks of meat coming out of my arm from the deep slits from her slicing my arm up with all the broken glass.
Yeah, listen, she didn't wake up for that.
Listen,
yeah.
Tila's multiple personality, if I can have a conversation with you, I will give you a week's salary if you'll finish the job. whatever it takes.
You're a poor alternate personality.
You
fail.
Are not full of win.
No, that's right. Thank
Don't
you, Ralph.
You have disappointed us all.
Roses are red, violets are blue. You whore.
Sandy Bullock was on the show last night, MTV Movie Awards, and she has not been seen in public a lot because of all the controversy surrounding her marriage with Jesse James and the breakup thereof.
Mm-hmm.
So she was on Spike TV over the weekend, and then she was on MTV. And I don't know if you watched the MTV Movie Awards or not.
Hey, a little kiss action, eh?
She did. She kissed Scarlett Johansson.
How about that, huh?
That was a plus.
Scarlett Johansson has maybe never looked better.
That was the only
one. She looked great.
She looked lovely. As did Katy Perry did, by the way.
Yes.
Her number. She did California Girls with Snoop. Snoop came out, and it was just a great number. She came down on a flying surfboard. That's how she started the number.
All right.
How could you do that at her age?
I was wondering as she came on stage. But then Sandra Bullock accepted the Generation Award, and we heard her talk a little bit about, you know, maybe she's had enough of all this stuff in the tabloids.
Now that we have done that, can we please go back to normal? Because therapy is really expensive. Go back to making fun of me. I don't care. It's time to get back to normal. And I think when we all go to bed tonight, we should think about all the people that are being affected in the Gulf and just say a prayer for them and hope that everything's going to be okay. Good night. Thank you.
Very classy, very put together, very articulate woman, and tremendous response from the audience last night. Huge standing ovation.
She is a class act and still America's sweetheart.
She's lying.
She's not lying.
I just said that one up. I didn't. I was
Bradley
lazy.
Cooper was one of the people who brought her out for that award, and he very openly mentioned the fact that they did All About Steve together, which was one of the worst movies of last year, and the fact that she won the Raspberry for Worst Actress and the Oscar for Best Actress in the same year for two different films.
And showed up for both of them.
That's right.
Yeah.
Pretty cool. And lastly, the producers of the Jersey Shore show over on MTV, speaking of that network, they said...
F you, sizzle chest.
They said F you, sizzle chest. No, they said the biggest problem on the set is keeping the herpes under control.
Oh, whoa.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah, the casting director, Sally Ann Salsano... Well, I'm sorry, the producer, Sally Ann Salsano, tells The Hollywood Reporter... that they hand out Valtrex like M&Ms over there on the set. It's like a herpes nest. They're all in there mixing it up, she said.
Too much information, man.
Apparently, STDs are the biggest problem for reality shows right now.
That isn't good for you.
Our buddy Dr. Drew of Celebrity Rehab, in the same conversation, also said that all of his patients are put on a vigorous regimen of Valtrex in order to keep the herpes monster at bay.
Wow.
So, next time you go on Biggest Loser, just keep that in mind. You can thank your lucky stars that they're all too fat to have sex with anybody, so they're probably clean. So you can probably bang them and be pretty safe. Today's celebrity birthdays, singer Tom Jones. It's not unusual to see him performing in Vegas.
Oh, you see what you did there?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I'm going to stab you right in the eye.
That was something, Ralph.
Thank you so much. Yeah. He is 70 years old today. And 70. As I mentioned before, still a vibrant, talented live performer.
How can he still dance at 70?
Advanced age.
He knows at his age, singing with voices.
Liam Neeson is 58 years old today. Prince, the musician Prince, formerly known as... Remember that glyph he went by for a long time?
The symbol, yeah.
He is 52. Gordon Gano of Violent Femmes is 47. Eric Kretz of STP is 44. Dave Navarro is 43. Bill Hader from Saturday Night Live.
Bill Haley?
Bill Hader, money, is 32 years old. And actor Michael Cera is 22 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow's going to be a fantastic show. We haven't played much of it. There's not much of it planned.
What are you basing that on, then?
Just our ability to plan.
Oh.
The hopes.
If you are investing in our ability to come up with a good show,
all right, listen.
That will not pay strong dividends, as they say on Wall Street.
We're going to do a Kevin and Bean wake-up call again when we send two random people to a music festival. So that's going to happen. And also...
Are we giving them Valtrex?
I don't know if you... You should. Yeah. I don't know if you've seen this story, but... Too hot to work. There was a woman that got fired from Citibank because she's just too hot.
Yeah. No one could concentrate.
She's distracting.
That's why we had to fire money from our show here.
And Lisa couldn't do traffic.
I couldn't keep my hands off him.
So
Looking at his package.
7 o'clock hour, we're going to have to talk to you if you're too hot for work. That's really become a problem for you. Tomorrow morning.
Put that on your unemployment application, by the way, when you're picking up your benefits there.
I appreciate that.
Can't get a job. Too hot.
Tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show.
Don't go away. Kat Corbett's coming up next, and after the Weenie Roast this week, and I'm sure she's going to sound great.
That's right.
She'll be playing.
I sound great.
Playing that new song from the band A Silent Film that's so awesome. Also, some Nirvana, Rage Against the Machine, Muse, Tool, and more coming up next on K-Rock.